with having expert roadside assistance. Be ready. Get AAA.
Rise and grind, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get bumpy. Time to attack and dominate. This is Morning Juice with Brandon Beam and Bobby Carpenter.
And here we go on a Friday. Attacking and dominating our way to 9 a.m. every single weekday morning right here on The Fan. Brandon Beam, the General Bobby Carpenter, and of course our fearless leader and producer Mark the Shark. General, we've navigated our way to the first weekend here in the rainy month of April. What's going on, man? Good to talk to you.
Oh, it's great to talk to you, Beam. Excited to be back in here on this delicious Friday. Mm. First Friday in April. Everybody's fired up and excited for it.
Frisky Friday.
I mean, this weather is just, dude, it's like Billy Milligan with its personalities out there. We got a lot of different options that are coming at you. Really, I mean, the best part of it, Beam, is you get to explore like the full complement of your wardrobe in an entire week.
It's true. I'm wearing pants today.
Pantalones.
Pants and short sleeves. Had a sweatshirt on earlier. Yeah, went through the drive through in the coffee line this morning. Lid wasn't on. Spilled coffee all over myself.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. You going to sue him?
I think so.
I think you have four.
Remember when the lady sued?
You have third-degree burns on yourself, Beam.
Iced coffee, so I guess I would have gotten...
Froze to death.
Yeah, frostbite. Remember when the lady sued McDonald's for... Or was it a lady or a guy sued McDonald's for their coffee being too hot because they scalded themselves, huh?
Yeah, so that's why it says hot 47,000 times all over it now. It's brutal.
God, that's the American dream right there.
The American dream?
Yeah, sure.
Getting some third-degree burns, second-degree burns on your leg?
Yeah. I mean, a little cup of coffee, a couple of million bucks. Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
There you go. I mean, it's really what Shark's looking at. That's his retirement plan.
Shark's looking at the retirement plan. We have a meeting, and we've got a bunch of studios here in the radio station. So there's a clock up there. There was a clock up there, and every week our boss comes in and says, anything that I need to do to make your jobs easier. And Shark for weeks was hounding him. I need a clock. The clock was broken. So the fix to the situation was just that they have removed the clock, but they didn't patch any more of the drywall or anything. So there's a live electrical wire
replace the clock. Just put it out, patch in the drywall.
I know.
There's a vestibule there where the wires come out. Uh-huh. There's a wire box where there's supposed to be a clock to go over it and be hardwired into the wall. That's how you solve that problem, Beam. But instead, they're like, it reminds me of Clark Griswold. Hey, honey, I fixed the rail post or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, sawed it off. I mean, it's fixed.
Yeah,
true. The clock is no longer slow or does move because it's not there.
It's disappeared. I think in Shark, as we close in on retirement, if there continues to be not a clock on there, you just get up there and you touch that live electrical wire, get a little bit of shock, and then you'll be able to get workman's comp and sue this place.
Yep.
It'll be good.
Like fall on the floor on my head, break my collarbone.
I'll make sure that I'm here watching you or in a room close to the vicinity so that way I can call the authorities to make sure that you're okay when this happens.
I mean, Shark, it's just 110, dude. It's going to light you up a little bit. You'll be fine.
110, 111, whatever it takes.
Just make sure, Sharky, that your hands aren't wet when you touch it.
Right.
Or don't lick it. You're going
to
be all right.
You want to get a little condensate on there to make sure you get good connection.
Of course you do. What's wrong with that?
I told you, I've wired about four or five boxes live in my life. About three of them. Have been non-live by the end because I was shocked enough that it popped the breaker. So it's kind of a relief. And then the lights go out and it's like, it's not hot anymore.
Just go in there and grab it now.
Now I can go down there and I can make sure I write down on the box. I'll make sure it includes that outlet so I don't have to search for it.
We got an awesome show lined up for you here this morning. It's in the NFL's best interest to protect college football. We talked a little bit about this yesterday with Albert Breer, the MMQB. We're going to get into that in the College Football Super League coming up here in our next segment. James Laurinaitis had some media availability earlier on in the week, so we're going to hear from your new linebackers coach here coming up here around 6:35 this morning. Do a little Final Four preview, top of the 7 o'clock hour. Jackets insider Jeff Sabota, he's going to join the program at 7:20 this morning. Austin Ward at 7:35. AJ Hawk coming up here at 8:35 this morning. Before we get into anything else today, it is Friday, the 5th day of April, 2024. Time for Today in History.
Time to get smarter. Morning Juice presents Today in History. Here's your professor, Bobby Carpenter.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
On our coming up tweet that Shark just posted, he posted good old Jack Nicholson from The Shining.
Yeah.
I can't see him without thinking of Schlegs now and the boar.
Yeah, cutting that boar's head off.
Yeah, with a hatchet.
Dude of the week, cut the boar's head off.
Mm-hmm.
It is Friday, April 5th, the first Friday of the month, the 96th day of the year, 270 days remaining in this 2024. 4 days until we're to the century mark, Beam. Mm-hmm. Pretty exciting.
End of the
there.
Eclipse.
Absolutely. Eclipse is going to be on Monday the 8th.
Yep.
Total eclipse of the heart. This date, 1614, going the way back before we were even a country in Virginia. Pocahontas marries John Rolfe in one of the, I guess, more influential weddings you will have mm-hmm. on United States soil, even though at that point it was still a British colony. This date, 1792, President Washington first exercises the presidential power of veto from that office,
nice.
Vetoing a bill sent to his desk. In the state, 1954, Elvis records his debut single, That's All Right. You like that, Shark? Is that a banger for
I
you?
I do like that song, yeah.
Well,
wish you would have told me ahead of time.
Well, I mean, that started the fire. This date, 1955, Winston Churchill resigns as the Prime Minister of England after leading them for a number of years. And then on this date, 1963, the Beatles, they received their first silver disc for Please, Please Me. It's their first hit, Sharky. 1964, the London Underground runs its first driverless trains. I mean, autonomous drivers have been a thing for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Always cruise around. And then this date, 1967, little NBA news. We got two big NBA deals. Wilt Chamberlain sets the NBA single game record for rebounds with 41 boards in a game.
Oh, my.
Yeah, 41 boards in the game. However, you're going to hear a little later, one of his records got topped and not Captain 10,000, Shark. I know you've been working on that for years.
20,000.
Even better.
Don't undersell him.
This date, 1968, Jack Murphy Stadium is open in San Diego. Better known as Qualcomm. Is it torn down now, or do they still have it there?
That's a great question, Bob. I'm not sure.
I think they may have torn it down.
I'm just here to talk about Qualcomm.
Absolutely. 1984, 40 years ago today, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar breaks Wilt's all-time NBA scoring record of 31,419 points.
Everybody's waving their arms. It's in to Kareem. Kareem, swing left, right hand, 12-footer, good! The pictures tell the words. They love their captain. They love their leader. The new king of scoring has ascended his throne. His mama, his father. What an emotional moment. This man has accomplished something that I don't believe. And I mean this sincerely. I don't think this will ever happen again.
He was wrong about that.
Wrong a couple times, right?
No, just once.
So who?
LeBron.
Yeah. LeBron's the only one that broke it?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. You think anyone will break LeBron, Shark?
No. I mean, gosh, you would have to
play for 20 years and score a lot of points.
20 years and score 2,000 points a season. And most people, when they get to 40, don't still average 25 a game.
Well, that and players don't play as much as they do.
Load management.
Load management. Yeah, we're managing loads.
Yeah. It's a whole other difference, Beam. We'll talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Gretzky wins his seventh NHL scoring title in 1987. 1998, the Spice Girls play their first live show in the UK at Glasgow in Dublin. And then in 2008, Toto breaks up after their final show. Coaster Bob was crushed.
Yeah, he was.
Coaster Bob, big Toto fan.
Loves Toto. Who doesn't?
They're great. Some birthdays here. Born in 1856, Booker T. Washington, the famed American author and orator. Betty Davis, born on this date in 1908. Actress, but more importantly, great song about her. She's got Betty Davis eyes. Colin Powell, the 65th Secretary of State, was born on this date in 1937. We lost him during COVID in 2021.
Yep.
Diamond Dallas Page, WCW, WWE, turning 68 today. T. Roy Gentry, born on this date in 1967, half of the Montgomery Gentry duo. He died being in a plane crash 7 years ago. Paula Cole, turning 56, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone, her hit single. Pharrell Williams, turning 51 today.
Like me some Pharrell.
He's good. And then Steven Jackson. Shark, I told you to get me some of the Malice in the Palace. Talking about his breakdown. He's turning 45 today. His nice little right cross He was actually 46 today. His right cross that he threw over there.
Oh, yeah. Just looking out for his guy.
Absolutely. Some passings. Douglas MacArthur died on this date, 1964, Shark. An old soldier never dies. He just slowly fades away. This date, 1992, the man that founded the most, I would say, lucrative, the largest big box retailer in the United States, Bean. Do you have any idea who that is?
Big box retailer. That would be Mr. Walton.
It's Mr. Sammy Walton, passing on this date, 1992. Kurt Cobain passed away on this date, 1994, via that 12-gauge shotgun beam. You know what the end of the barrel tastes like? Ask Kurt. He's no longer with us. And then pass you on this day, 2008. We lost Moses.
Yep.
Mr. Charlton Heston.
Woe unto thee, O Israel! You have sinned a great sin in the sight of God. You are not worthy to receive these 10 commandments. Blasphemers! Idolaters! For this you shall drink bitter waters. God has set before you this day his laws of life and good and death and evil. Those who will not live by the law shall die by the law.
It's been years since I've watched that. Oh, I need to go back and
watch it every Easter, man. I was watching it at 1:30 in the morning on Saturday before Easter this year. The Toto behind it kind of softens the delivery a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
It does a little bit.
Man, Heston came down that mountain with a really nice beard, didn't he?
Great beard, great tan. I mean, him and Yul Brynner back in the day, they were lifting before anybody else was.
So it shall be written, so it shall be done.
I mean, for a guy, for a group of people that never ate and were like starved and just building pyramids, he was pretty jacked, you know? Good for him. I mean, honestly, when I envision Moses in my head, it's Charlton Heston. Heston.
Yeah, same.
Most popular Moses of all time. Some holidays and observances. It's Accelerate ACL Awareness Among Young Women Day.
Right.
Big time sporting injury for young girls. Make sure you work your medial glute, Shark, so you don't have your knee dive to the middle. Put stress on the ACL. Bell Bottoms Day, First Contact Day, Go for Broke Day, Gold Star Spouses Day, Gold Star Wives Day. So we thank all of those who have given... made the ultimate sacrifice, giving a loved one. It is International Day of Conscience, International Kids Yoga Day, National Caramel Day, National Dandelion Day, National Deep Dish Pizza Day, Flash Drive Day, Raisin and Spice Bar Day, Walk to Work Day, first Friday in April, Read a Roadmap Day, and Student Government Day as well, which is the first Friday in April. And those are your historical events, your birthdays, your passings, your holidays, and observances for this date. Friday, April 5th, the 96th day of the year, and 270 days remaining in this 2024.
Very well done on that, General, as always. It's in the NFL's best interest to protect college football. We'll do that next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. Right now, if you're heading out, no crashes that we are currently watching on any of your interstates across Central Ohio. Seeing busy traffic start to build on 33 westbound on the southeast side and on I-71 near Polaris. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sagerwald.
One of these guys thinks Clintonville was named after Bill Clinton. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Friday edition of the program. We're going to be Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. It says International Map Day, right?
Sure.
Map Reading Day.
I told you that.
You think kids nowadays could read an atlas, like, and get themselves from one place to another?
That's a great question. Do some night nav?
Yeah.
Probably not.
When's the last time you've looked at an atlas?
We actually have one at the house.
Oh, that's sweet.
I have a huge one because my parents bought it for me. Yeah. And we would take it with us in the car. Like, back in the day, you didn't have a phone that would tell you where to go. You used to have to navigate that stuff yourself.
Meredith still puts, like, any destination that we've gone to multiple times in Columbus into Google Maps.
Yeah, that's my wife does that. And it's disturbing.
It drives me nuts.
I'll do it occasionally just to see what traffic looks like.
Yeah.
If it's a time where there could be some traffic issues. But if it's just like a random day, like middle of the day destination that I've been to 100 times, like, yeah. I'm not putting that stuff in there. Like, what are we doing?
Or somewhere I've never been before. Like, once we get close to the destination, I mean, I can get anywhere here in Columbus, basically central Ohio. Like, I know which direction I'm going. I'll get to the vicinity. Now, when we get close, like, maybe I'll need the Google Maps to, like, find out.
Turn by turn.
Find out exactly where this place is. But if you tell me, it's like, oh, this place is in downtown Westerville. It's like, got it. Okay, cool. That'll be easy to accomplish. But, yeah, it drives me nuts. Drives me nuts. The other day she went somewhere. She's like, you'd be proud. I didn't turn on Google Maps to get there. I'm like, it's 5 minutes away. Yeah.
You know, hey, easy, Michael Scott with the Garmin. That's what I tell my wife.
Run into the lake.
Just drive off you're going to listen to this thing? Like, I know this isn't the fastest way. Mm-hmm. It's what it's telling me to do. I don't believe it. Don't trust the machines. They've lured you in.
Yeah.
They've earned your confidence, and then they're just
going to... Well, now you have to rely on them, too. You got to rely on the machines. Well, what if the machines turn on you?
She does, without even thinking about it, you know? What are we talking about?
One league overseeing college football playoffs highest level. Andrew Marchand, Stuart Mandel wrote in The Athletic, inside college football Super League, one powerful group's idea to fix a dead system.
Mm.
No more conferences as we've known. Playoff berths being solely on the field. Promotion and relegation for smaller schools. Players being paid directly. NIL and transfer portal managed. A group of influential leaders wants to make all this happen, and they are pitching. It is the best way to move forward to a sport that they believe needs saving. Several college football presidents, Roger Goodell's primary lieutenant in the NFL, and some sports top executives have devised a plan dubbed by outsiders as, quote, the Super League, to completely transform college football. Those involved, the group College Sports Tomorrow, CST for short, told The Athletic, although the plan has drawn skepticism from within the sport's current institutions, the people behind the ideas believe they must be implemented.
What was the name of that?
CST. College Sports Tomorrow. Wave of the future. Wave of the future. Wave of the future.
Do you think that's the same people that started Diversity Tomorrow?
Yes.
Michael Scott?
Yeah. Perfect. Same people.
It seems like it might be the same
party planning committee.
It seems like it might be the same committee that put all that together. I want to know who these influential people are, Beam, like, that think that this, I know you got the lieutenant in the NFL, but like, who in college football are the ones that are driving this?
Right.
Because the only two people that it really matters to have it be driven by is Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey, because they can talk about putting together whatever they want. If the Big Ten and SEC aren't involved, then it isn't going to matter. And here's the reality for them. They're talking about this 70, this league. I do like the promotion relegation piece to it, as you talk about, like, you have your teams at the top, but why are we guaranteeing 70 teams being in there? Don't guarantee anybody being at the top, because the top teams are always going to be at the top and they're always going to be in there. And why, if you're the Big Ten or SEC, are you going to bring other teams into the fold to share in your bounty? Like, that's, there's a lot of inherent conflict of interest here.
Well, remember we were talking about, this was a couple of years ago, this Super League that was proposed, like, in European soccer, right? Yeah. Like, so they do the Champions League, which the crew are in CONCACAF, and, like, they have to qualify themselves into playing into that. And that's a yearly thing. Like, you have to qualify in, the top teams in the region, they get to play in this tournament. It's the same thing over in Europe. Now, they came up with the idea, oh, let's create a Super League so that the biggest teams always get in and don't have to qualify for it. So this is kind of like that. Syracuse Chancellor Kent Severud. So the current model for governing and managing college athletics is dead. West Virginia President Gordon Gee, who we're very familiar with here in Columbus, said, we are in an existential crisis.
I'm done with that. Existential. The world is not ending, okay? College football is also not ending. Now, not for every school. There might be areas where it is.
Severud and Gee are part of CST, which is the College Sports Tomorrow Wave of the Future, a 20-person group which also includes the NFL's number two executive, Brian Rolapp, Philadelphia 76ers owner David Blitzer, and lead organizer Len
Perna.
What is
the 76ers owner doing with this?
I don't know what he's doing. and Turnkey ZRG, who is apparently the lead dog on this.
Turnkey Solutions.
The search firm that places nearly all the top conference commissioners, including recently the Big Ten's Tony Petitti.
Yeah.
So they're trying to implement drastically a new system that would replace NCAA and college football playoff and potentially provide a solution for the hurricane of current and future lawsuits aimed at the business of the sport, plus the NIL and transfer portal issues that they believe have put college athletics as a whole in peril. The current CST outline would create a system that would have the top 70 programs, all members of the five former major conferences, plus Notre Dame and new ACC member SMU as permanent members, and encompass all 130-plus FBS university. The perpetual members would be in seven 10-teams divisions, joined by an eighth division of teams that would be promoted from the second tier. The 50-plus teams, so that's 70, and then you go the one the other 50 to get the 130 number, the 50 plus second division teams would have the opportunity to compete their way into the upper division, creating a promotion system similar to the structure in European football leagues.
Okay. So a lot of the people that you just talked about are completely irrelevant as far as their decision-making power. We're talking, and I love Gordon Gee. He's a West Virginia. They're not a player. Syracuse Chancellor, definitely not a player. Mm-hmm. You know, the NFL, they may be able to persuade some people. But if you're anyone in the big, like, neither of those schools reside in the Big Ten or SEC. That's why they're able to talk about right. this, because they want to solidify their seat at the table. And I will say this. The idea of doing this is a good thing.
Yes.
Now, the old man in me says I like conferences. I like the nostalgia of that. I enjoy, like, you have a regionality that's like the last piece of regionality left in college.
That's why we love college football.
It's the last piece that's remaining, Beam, and you're right. That's why we love it. It's there. This will give them the ability then to, like, bundle TV rights. And in doing that, then you'll be able to collectively bargain with, I don't know if it's a union, it could be a working group or whatever, with the players. And so that'll help put some constraints around the transfer portal then, to where, hey, you can maybe transfer once after 2 years or however that works. And we can do that because you're getting a share now of the TV revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, this relies completely on the Big Ten and SEC saying we want to do this. And why would we ever give anybody else the rest of this power and any other money?
Here's the kicker on this. It says, thus far, and again, this is in the Athletic article, thus far the group is struggling to gain traction with the schools that would play in their proposed Super League. The ACC Board of Directors heard a presentation from the group in February. However, planned dinners with administrators from the Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12 were all called off. Spokespersons for the Big Ten and SEC said Commissioners Petitti and then Greg Sankey, respectively, have not met with the group.
Yeah, because they look at this like, the reality is, we'll start our own group.
Yeah.
And then you will decide.
Why do we need you?
Yeah, we'll decide who we want to let in.
We like your idea. We're going to make sure that we're looked after. And if we want to start that, we're going to do it.
And this is the thing. Like, I think it's good in theory.
I agree.
What they're doing, I like the promotion relegation element of it. They want to lock in everybody because Syracuse could be getting regulated at some point, mm-hmm. or relegated, because they've been really bad at times. So yeah, if you get to the bottom part, yeah, you might get bumped out of there, buddy. And that could very easily happen.
See you later.
You know, you look at some of these schools that are in the, you know, in the Power Five, like, that are on the fringes of their conference.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they could easily get bumped and they would have issues. So there's a lot to this, being a lot of little, a lot of tentacles.
A lot of nuance.
On the topic tree that we can kind of dive into. But I want to tell you this, because, listen, tax season is coming. It is right around the corner. 2 Mondays from now, Beam. We got a total eclipse this Monday. So, you know what? If you don't have the cash to pay your taxes, maybe you'll just get blinded to death by the eclipse if you don't have your glasses on. But if that's not your plan, hopefully you have a better one. You can, and you're a small business owner, you have really complicated taxes, and this is the first time you're hearing from your CPA since last April, let me introduce you to Brad Hennebert at Premier Tax CPAs, a Westerville-based firm. When you only see your account at tax time, all you're doing, you're just rehashing the last year. Brad and his team at Premier Tax CPAs, they're going to meet with their clients monthly, because important financial information is only useful if it's timely. Give Premier Tax CPAs a call at 614-524-4888 and see what it's like having an outside CFO work for you. That's 614-524-4888.
James Laurinaitis doesn't want any traitors in his linebacker's room. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Friday to you. Right now, we are not tracking any major crashes across your Central Ohio interstates. We are seeing busy traffic build on I-71 near Polaris and on I-70 as you come in from the west side and meet I-670. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sutton.
If you make a wise crack about Dayton pizza, Beamer will murder you dead.
Ah, humor. I have it too.
This is Morning Juice.
Here's Long here, Friday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. James Laurinaitis had some media availability a little bit earlier on in the week, talking about his linebackers, talking about everything. One thing that James doesn't want in his room, that's traitors.
I am enjoying it. I think it's fun to...
I played the wrong cut. Let me go back on that. There's one thing that
Come on, saboteur.
We'll hear from AJ a little bit later on. Ask him about that. That's 2 hours away from right now, by the way. Let me rephrase this. James doesn't want traitors in his room.
I always felt when I was here that they were trying to out-recruit me, which is the reality, right? Which is why it prepares you so well for the National Football League. That's why Ohio State prepares you so well for the league, because now it's like they're trying to outdraft you. And so I use that as fuel, but I also saw it firsthand. You know, like there was a season where it was John Kerr, Marcus Freeman, certain guys rotating week to week. And so I saw like, shoot, if it could happen to them, it could happen to me. So I just tried to be a certain way in practice. Like I tell the guys all the time, you have to control the things that take no talent. You have to eliminate all loafs. Like if you loaf on the field, you're a traitor. Like you should just go play for the other team. Like that can't, we can't be coaching effort. And then you can't have mental errors, because if you have a mental error, then it can't trust you. So those were the two things that I always, as a player, was like, all right, you're not going to catch me loafing, and you're definitely not going to catch me not knowing what I'm supposed to do. I might get beat, and that's inevitable. It's football. Everyone's on scholarship, right? But those two things you can control every single day.
It's great. It's great lines from James. It's great.
It sounded like I was listening to Luke Fickell right there. Their guys are on scholarship, too. Like, their guys are playing ball, too. Like, hey, they're just going to give it to you. They got good players over there.
It's amazing how much that you control take in from your own, your former coaches.
You control the controllables. James said he was listening to Marcus is like listening to Fick. He goes, and when he doesn't sound like Fick, he sounds exactly like Tress. It's like, so that's who you're talking to then when you're talking to coach version of that guy. But it's true. Like, they're trying to recruit over you. Mm-hmm. Mark D'Antonio had a meeting with us before he left. This was in the 2003 Fiesta Bowl. We played Kansas State. He'd already taken the job to Cincinnati. He wanted to finish out the Fiesta Bowl with us. It was a big deal. You know, we had lost to Michigan. I think he wanted to get his, you know, final win and make sure we went out on good terms. And wanted to obviously, you know, he had a good relationship with Tress. And so we had like two bad practices in a row down in Phoenix. I mean, it wasn't the national championship, and maybe he was thinking like some guys were mailing it in or whatever.
Senior.
And he had a couple seniors, the guys that were on their way out, like Chris Gamble's leaving, Will Smith, like some very talented guys. But then we also had like Tim Anderson, we had really good defensive line. But then there were some young guys like AJ, myself, Nate Sally that was starting, Dante Whitner was playing a lot as a true freshman. And I don't know if they, whatever. He brings us into this classroom.
Tress does?
No, Mark D'Antonio. Tress would have never done this. Right. D'Antonio brings just the defense in there. We're watching film, maybe. And he's like, look at this crap. And he starts yelling, and he just, turn the lights on. Just because you think that I'm on my way out, I'm not going to care anymore about this. He's like, this is trash. And if you think I'm going to put you out here and let you play, if you've got 1 foot out the door, that's not happening. And everyone else in this room. He's like, starts looking around, like pointing at the guys who are still like
scanning.
Like, we're recruiting players better than every one of you. Every one of you. None of your jobs are safe. So if you think something is guaranteed next year, you've got another thing coming. Like, wow, this escalated quickly. All because someone didn't run to the football. I mean, I felt like it was Tommy Boy. Oh, because you wanted to save a couple of pennies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was wild. Like, AJ, I should have brought, I mean, that's something that it was so conscious that, oh my gosh, it was like vividly sitting there in my mind looking at practice thinking, wow, that's real. They're telling you you're not good.
You stink.
And every time we'd bring guys in, I would always look at who we're bringing in. And I know, like, my job, I never felt safe. I talked to John Simon, Nate Ebner, all these guys about this. And I forget, there's someone saying they wanted jobs. Oh, the Kyle McCord situation. This is what was the genesis of that. I think the only time I ever felt safe was when I was a senior at Ohio State. In my entire football career, from like freshman in college, last time in the NFL, always felt like, hey, they're trying to find someone better than you.
That 1 year.
They will bench you. Your senior year, you probably felt pretty good about it. But that's it. That was the time. Period and dot.
It's pretty remarkable how James has conjured up all of that.
Because it's PTSD, Beam. Those are bad memories.
Speaking of recruiting guys who are going to be better than you eventually, here is James talking about enjoying the recruiting process, even though he was supposedly not liking the recruiting process, and that's why he wasn't going to take the full-time job here.
I am. I am enjoying it. I think it's fun to build relationships and get to know so many different types of kids, you know? Ohio State presents opportunity, right, in so many different ways. You're not going to get developed better anywhere else in the country. We have the largest fan base, the largest alumni. I mean, it's just opportunity everywhere, right? So you try to just explain your passion for the school that did so much for you, you know, especially being an out-of-state kid, not being from Ohio, and then realizing how much Ohio State changed my life. And so now you communicate that to other young kids who kind of see it, and you try to tell them the vision, like where you can get to. And I think the fun thing for me is that most of the kids I'm recruiting are way more athletic than I ever was.
Three-star from Wayzata, baby. Tarvos Alford, who was the most recent Buckeye commitment on the linebacker front, 66th-ranked nationally prospect. He's the 8th-ranked player in Florida, 8th-ranked linebacker in the country. He just committed over the weekend. Here's what he said about James. He said, really, just because of the brotherhood there and why he committed, he said, but because of the relationship I have with Coach Laurinaitis and the whole coaching staff and how I connected with the players there. So they were happy. They were jumping up and down. Laurinaitis was telling me that he wanted me to be his first commit and have his first All-American as a full-time linebacker coach. It made me feel great. When I come in, he's going to be in his second year. He'll still be getting adjusted just like I am. So I feel like we're going to be learning the ropes together and he'll be able to help me out. I mean, that's proof that he is hitting the recruiting trail hard. I mean, signing remarkable.
Was there ever any doubt about this?
No.
Like, I'm curious because there are people that said, you know, he may not want to become a full-time coach. James loves I don't know if anybody truly loves, like, the recruiting process, but you love the relationship building. Like, that's what James is all about.
And he's good at it.
Same thing, like, with Hartline, former players, Schlags, like, all these guys. Like Tim Walton, you love the relationship building, and you're not selling, you're telling. Like, this is what it did for me, this is what it can do for you, and this is what I want to do to help you with this. And you're joining a group that I, as a coach, am a part of, as a player. So it makes it really easy to be able to recruit because you're telling about your own personal experiences as that. It's not some fictional conjured up element. And you're going to tell them how you're going to take this and help them be the best version of themselves and become the best player they can be, just the way someone did it for you. And so it's a phenomenal, phenomenal situation there. He's got a lot of big-time linebackers that they're looking at, and I'm sure he's going to land a lot of these guys.
We have been talking about Sonny Styles a lot through the spring and his transition to linebacker. What about C.J. Hicks? What about his spring?
I think C.J. Hicks has done a phenomenal job. You know, you got to keep pressing him and making sure that he's really tapping into everything that he can offer. You know, I think C.J. sees the opportunity, and he's, you know, certainly making a case to get on the field this fall, you know. So I think it's been a really good spring for CJ. There's just always, you know, whenever you have a good day, you got to follow it up by another good day, you know, and kind of stack days. And I think that's what a pro does. You know what I mean? Like there's always, if you want to be a pro, you got to keep stacking them. That's the expectation. And I think, you know, he's had some really good days, and then he's had some days where you're like, you're trying to push him a little bit. But I think CJ, where he is now compared to where he was last fall, is he's a lot better football player.
And then you hear the Ryan Day in him as well. Be a pro.
Oh, yeah.
Be a pro.
Well, and that's from James's professional experience, and Ryan Day being a coach and coached, you know, professional football and coached in the NFL. And life, I mean, there's no secret. I was just having this conversation with my son today. I was talking to my other son about it last night. I'll tell my daughter if she ever listens. Like, James knows, like, there's, you know, 365 days in a year. You know, you start looking at that, you figure it out, like, okay, how many of those are weekdays? You know, 250 weekdays, essentially. We'll even give you the weekends. Like, there's 52 cards in a deck, all right? So that's basically 5 decks of cards a year. You put down one card, it doesn't look like a whole lot. You put down a deck of cards, you got something going. Put down 3, 4, 5 decks, now all of a sudden you've got yourself a stack. Mm-hmm. And you begin to do that year over year over year, and then you're able to build something with it. One card doesn't look like much. In life, it's the accumulation of successful days. That's how you become a success. There's no magic to it. James gets it. He understands it because that's the way he did it.
Just a new competitor to the NCAA tournament. That and Quick Hitters next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Friday to you. Right now, we are not tracking any major crashes across your central Ohio interstates. We are seeing busy traffic build on I-71 near Polaris and on I-70 as you come in from the west side and meet I-670. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sagerwal.
Bobby is known as the General. Beamer is known as Beamer. This is Morning Juice.
We are on the Juicer, brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Health, the leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them online at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
Morning Juice presents Quick Hitters.
Sharky!
Oh, it is our favorite day of the week. It is Friday.
How about that?
And I'm getting an off-the-air edumacation from Beamer about British soccer. Mm-hmm. We have 68 teams in the NCAA tournament, another 32 in the NIT. That's 100.
How many cups did they play in?
Apparently, that is not enough. Fox Sports is creating another postseason tournament. We shall name it the College Basketball Crown. It is a 16-team tournament that starts next spring. It will feature teams from the Big Ten, Big 12, and Big East. Two teams each get automatic bids, and then other at-large bids. Bob, unlike the NCAA and NIT tournaments, which are spread out over 17 days, the College Basketball Crown will be played from March 31st to April 6th. So you're going to have two of the 16 teams playing four games in 7 days.
Here's the good news. The only people that will be watching this will be people that have teams playing in it.
Yeah.
And the reality of why they're getting auto bids in there is those are Fox is going to be televising this, and those are Fox-associated leagues. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Create your own content with what you already have. If Ohio State played in it, I'd watch it. I would probably not watch a second of it otherwise.
It's no. Like the NIT, yeah. Right? We don't care about the NIT, but this year we did because the Buckeyes were in it.
Of course. I didn't watch a lick of the Seton Hall-Indiana State game. And then I woke up, it's like, wow, probably would have been a fun college basketball game to watch, but I didn't care, and I wasn't going to watch it.
You did care because you took Seton Hall.
And I won.
In Duel for Dawn.
They had a nice comeback, apparently, last 3 minutes of the game. I heard it from you in the update, yeah. Shark, at the beginning and the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. I understand it. You're a media company. You want to create content. I don't know how this is going to work with the invitations going out. I don't know if the teams will receive more money from Fox if they decide to turn their nose up at the NIT, if they go to this tournament. I don't know how that's going to work. So, like, they're obviously not going to turn down the NCAA tournament to play in this College Basketball Crown, but I'm not sure the way that it's going to work, like if which one is going to be preferred with the dollar amount coming in from either the NIT or this Fox created tournament. So I have no clue how this is going to work.
Money talks, Beam. Yeah. If they offer a team $20 million to play in the Crown, they may not go to the NCAA tournament.
You know what? You're right about that.
It took a while this offseason, but the Bears were finally able to find a trade partner for Justin Fields. Well, an anonymous NFL executive says
love anonymous quotes.
Yeah, the Bears were bullied into trading the quarterback. The exec told The Athletic that Chicago's asking price was initially too high. Then they had to lower the price after other teams gobbled up quarterbacks, and they just gave up. He went on to say, Beamer, that the trade for a sixth rounder made no sense because once another team's quarterback is injured, Fields becomes a hot commodity.
They screw themselves, is what
they
did.
They said they were going to do right by him.
They did, and I think they did say that, and I think they did ultimately do that because they had multiple trade offers on the table for him. They went to Justin Fields and said, hey, out of these four or five trade destinations and trade partners, and apparently, reportedly, there were better offers on the table for the Bears' perspective. And maybe not so for Justin Fields. They said, where do you want to go? He said, ideally, I'd like to go to Pittsburgh. They offered a sixth-round pick. But it was a mess. It was a disaster, the timeline. They could have gotten way more return on value, return on investment, if they were able to ship him early in the offseason. And they waited, and then quarterback movement happened, and then they were kind of behind the eight ball.
So here's what happened. They overpriced him early, and then they said they were going to do right by him. And so then, ultimately, the best way to get value would have been to wait for quarterbacks to get hurt.
Yep.
But that wouldn't have been putting him in a good situation, trying to learn an offense at the very last minute, waiting until his value then went up. And so by overvaluing it early and not dumping him for probably a fourth or a fifth rounder, you had to wait, maybe a third somewhere in there. They wanted a first, like second. You're not
that
getting
was not
that.
Not going to happen.
It wasn't going to happen. And then so they could have waited till training camp or waited till something happened and then maybe released him or traded him at that point. But that would have been doing right by him. So they painted themselves into this corner.
Yeah, they pigeonholed themselves for sure.
But you know what? Here's the good news, Shark. The Bears are taking the North and never giving it back.
That's right. And the graveyard of quarterbacks is going to continue. And in 3 years' time, we're going to be having the same conversation about Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked yesterday about
the draft Julian Sand.
That's right. I don't think Buckeye fans want any part of their quarterbacks going to the Bears anymore. I think hard pass on that.
We talked yesterday about the Connecticut men's long journey to Glendale for the Final Four. Mechanical issues with the plane, didn't arrive in Phoenix until 3:15 a.m. yesterday. Coach Dan Hurley got a couple hours of sleep and then had to attend a press conference. He was surprisingly in a good mood, saying, "Who doesn't deal with problems with the airlines? But it sucked." He admitted experiencing a lot of emotions, Bob, but then thought, "Hey, we're lucky to be here. We're lucky to play in the Final Four. Maybe you could take a lesson from him, Bob."
Let me tell you this, Shark. You sound like my wife. All right? You know what my methodology is in life about this? I'm going to absorb the Bill Belichick philosophy. Do your job. Okay?
They did their job. They found the mechanical problem on the plane. Thank goodness. Otherwise, it may have gone down midair.
I would have rather probably been dead than waiting in that terminal that long. Okay,
Bob, you were one of the few people that say, when we say safe travels to you, what do you say? Don't wish me safe travels, wish me speedy travels.
Speedy, timely travels. Mm-hmm. Here's the reality. They probably would have been able to land that plane somewhere. Okay, you know how many airports there are across the country? And especially, they're flying out
cross
west.
Cross country, yeah.
By the way, once you get past the Rockies, it's pretty darn flat. Before and after, okay? You want Jeopardy? Before and after. Where to land a plane? Not on the Rockies.
But what if you're over the Rockies?
Well, you know what?
And there's an issue.
You got some time to glide it on down there. Figure it out. If Captain Phillips can land it in the stinking Hudson, I think we can find a field to put
Captain
it down.
Captain Phillips
in.
Didn't land anything in the Hudson. Captain Phillips was the one who got his boat taken over.
Whatever, Sully. Sullivan?
Yeah,
there
Sully,
you go,
yeah.
Sully. Who cares?
One was also guys. Played by Tom Hanks.
Listen, we got planes, we got terrorists, we got people taking over the vessels, like, whatever. I respect him for being positive for that, and it does affect everybody. I've gotten better with it. But if people just did their job and someone checked the plane beforehand, and
they did! They found a problem.
You know what? Then why is the mechanic sleep? Get his butt out there. Why do we have people at home? But you know what it is? Hey, Shark, why don't you get an engineer in here right now?
That's true.
Yeah. I once saw Indiana Jones jump out of a plane in a raft.
Exactly.
I once saw James Bond jump out and get pushed out of a plane with no parachute.
Right.
And then it was able to wrestle it away from a guy midair. That was pretty awesome. The Oakland A's are an absolute disaster. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday to you. Right now we are not tracking any major crashes across your central Ohio interstates. We are seeing busy traffic build on I-71 near Polaris and on I-70 as you come in from the west side and meet I-670. In the 10TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sagarwal.com.
Counting down the days until Shark's retirement. You are listening to Morning Juice.
Hour number two of the program for us on a Friday. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark coming up here 7:20 this morning. Jackets insider Jeff Sabota, he's going to join the program. Six-pack left to go for the CBJ on the season. 7:35, about 30 minutes away from right now. Austin Ward, he's going to join us. We'll talk some Buckeyes with him. And then AJ Hawk is going to round out the program with us, as he does every single Friday, coming up here around 8:35 a little bit later on this morning.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little rewack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Jackets lose last night to the Islanders, 4-2. Wires tomorrow, 7 o'clock, 6:30 here on The Fan. Women's Final Four tonight, men's Final Four tomorrow, South Carolina and NC State tonight at 7 o'clock, 9:30 UConn and Iowa, and then the men's Final Four tomorrow, that's over on ESPN Columbus. And if you're asking yourself, what is ESPN Columbus?
I ask myself that every day, Bean.
That is 97.1 FM HD2 if you have a newer car radio. Also 1460 AM.
There you go.
That's what ESPN Columbus is. So when we reference ESPN Columbus, that's what that is. Crew at home tomorrow against DC United at 7:30 over at the Death Star. Cucho update, was in practice yesterday. Is he going to play tomorrow? I have no clue. So the search for Cucho continues.
What is going on?
I don't know. I have no clue. No idea what's going on with him.
Beam, you're locked on Crew.
I know.
Or what's your pop, Bone and Beam Unite? Yep. Why don't you guys unite like Captain Planet to go down there, Captain Crew, and figure out what's going on?
I agree with you. We talked about that on our episode this week for like 30 minutes.
Well, I mean, who's the commissioner of the
Dong Arbor?
Dong Arbor. Get him on the line. See what's going on.
Yeah, come on, Dong. Make a decision on this. I love Wilfried Nancy. I think you know that about me. Yeah, I love
him. Maybe he's acting a little bit too much like the Nazi out there.
I love him a lot.
Tell him to lighten up a little bit.
And his tactics are fantastic, but this is bad. It's bad leadership. Bad leadership.
I mean, he didn't even yell at him from what I garnered yesterday listening to Man and Bone that he was...
Way to get out of your silo.
Listen, I'm so far out of my silo. Coach, I'm in the middle of the field right now. Okay? I was silo hopping.
Nice.
Listening to Fan all day, programming all over the place. But they were talking, and T-Bone, I mean, you guys, you would know. Like, I don't even need to reference him. I can probably just reference you. But they said the reason that Cucho got in trouble was he yelled at some of the assistants. They pulled him out of the game, and then he got upset.
He did, and that was a couple of weeks ago against Charlotte. And we don't know if that's the reason.
Did he play after that?
No.
Okay.
Hasn't played after that.
I think it's logical that you could deduce that something arose from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Either it was directly because of that, or maybe in their attempt to address it afterwards, behind closed doors, that maybe it elevated again.
Yeah.
So maybe that wasn't the exact reason, but it was the genesis.
So Wilf wasn't available down in Charlotte because he was sick. So he wasn't there. And the way that they handled the
Why don't you text Jimmy?
I should. Jimmy Haslam?
Him and D, yeah.
All right, I'll get him on the phone. Shark, let's make that happen. We're going to sandwich that between James Sound and AJ in the 8 o'clock hour.
That'd be perfect.
Jimmy Haslam. Hey, Jimmy, what's going on with Cucho and his awesome platinum hair?
How about Austin Moore? Austin Moore.
Oh, Austin would know what's going on
crew
with it.
Crew enthusiast.
Yeah, journalist of the highest kind, Austin.
Amateur MSL journalist, professional Buckeye blogger.
Yeah.
Or whatever his term is.
I don't know what's going on. But apparently, so when Wilf was out, he must not have liked the way that Cucho handled himself when he was not there.
Why was old Wilfried, what's his full name, by the way?
Wilfried Nancy, Nancy.
Is that one name?
Wilfried is the first.
But Nancy is his last name.
Nancy.
The Nazi.
Nancy.
Wilfried, Willie Nazi is what we're, that's his name, basically.
All right.
Wilfried Nazi.
Fried is the middle.
Is that the middle? What?
I just told you what his name was. He's French. He's French.
That's the problem. I mean, they didn't get enough occupation during World War II. They're going to have a family name. Wilfried Nazi. Okay, I guess. I'm here for it. Why was he not coaching, by the way?
Ill. He was sick.
Senior? Leader? What are we talking about? Sick.
Saboteur.
Listen, dude, if you're crapping your pants, put your Depends on and get out there and coach.
That's right. Get out there.
You just stand there anyway. What do soccer coaches really do?
Tactics on the sideline. They stay in their box.
They don't have a whiteboard.
No.
I've never once seen them draw anything up on the...
Have sweet pads of paper that they write stuff down on.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Always.
Why don't they have a whiteboard?
I don't know. It's a great question.
They don't care about the environment?
Basketball coaches have whiteboards, many whiteboards.
Every coach I've ever been around, except for baseball, because they're managers.
Right. So are soccer, so that's why they don't have whiteboards. If you're a manager, don't have a whiteboard. If you're a coach, you do.
Some of those dudes just stand there in their coat and tie with their arms behind their back.
Some stand there in a sweatsuit, which I prefer that look.
The sweatsuit look is great because it looks like you're getting ready to film... Eastern Promises too. When those dudes are sitting there in the sweatsuit, like you may be going out to murder somebody afterwards.
Ego, where are you at?
I feel like those guys that wear the sweatsuits are always the Eastern European coaches.
I think they look great when they rock the sweatsuits. So
see the pack of cigarettes in their pocket.
There is a guy who used to coach at Chelsea who would just rip heaters on the sideline, and he was the coach like 4 years ago.
Is it a non-smoking environment?
I don't know. It's a good question, but he would be on the sidelines just ripping heaters.
I respect that.
I do too.
I mean, I wish they could bring that back. I mean, the picture of Dawson.
Oh, yeah, drinking the Fanta. Was it a Fanta?
No, it was a Fresca.
Fresca, smoking the heater at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? He won the Super Bowl.
He did.
Old Lenny Dawson, so good for him.
So the Oakland Athletics are a mess.
Oakland Athletics, they're the best.
it's a recreation of Major League.
They took the Major League script,
yeah,
and they're like, listen, this is how we're going to operate our team. As poorly as humanly possible. Play the sound. Get it in here. This is, give them a story because it's so good.
The A's are leaving Oakland. All right. We know that it's been a big hullabaloo. They've tried to.
There are 1,600 people that were at the game are disappointed about it.
They tried to stay in Oakland. They had like three or four different ideas for new stadiums.
The best part was the Raiders allegedly left Oakland because they were going to build the A's a new stadium and not them.
And the fact that Mark Davis hates the A's owner should tell you something about the ownership of the Oakland Athletics and is very upset that they're following him to Vegas. Like, is not going to help them in any way, shape, capacity. So the A's
can probably work against.
The A's stadium deal is up at the Coliseum after this year. All right. So they're a man with no home. Like, their deal in Las Vegas and their new ballpark is not going to be done until what? 2029, I think. I mean, so that's
2028.
So 4 years away from
right now. No. They said they're going to, they talked to the folks, good folks over at Qatar. They've got some workers, some migrant workers they're going to bring in to,
for the World Cup.
Those same World Cup workers, the ones that didn't die, they're going to ship them into a new desert to have them work 24 hours a day and sleep them in storage containers.
So they're going to play 3 years, they announced yesterday, in a minor league ballpark in West Sacramento before making the move to Vegas.
Is this the same ownership group that owns the Phoenix Coyotes?
it's a good point.
I mean, I feel like there's
a lot of bad owners in
sports. Grabbed some of the best stuff that we've heard.
By the way, too, here's an update for you. Austin FC fans, very upset at Anthony Precourt. Who would have ever seen that happen? It's like he doesn't care about the fans. They're all up in arms on Twitter. I'm like, man, that's a real shocker.
We got our team.
Yeah.
But did you want the team?
Yeah. They're saying to Precourt now, sell the team. They haven't been in existence for 5 years.
That's the same thing. Beam is like, hey, you know what? This guy's taking your wife. You know what? Go ahead, have her.
Yeah, sure.
You don't know what you're missing out on. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know exactly what I'm. You can have her now. You got Precourt. You wanted him. You got him.
The agreement with Sacramento was a 3-year lease with a team option for a fourth season in case the team's planned ballpark on the Vegas Strip is not completed in time for the 28th season. The A's will share. The A's will share.
A's.
Yeah, that's, I guess, a Freudian slip that is coming to truth because they are really bad. The A's will share Sutter Health Park, which holds roughly 14,000 fans. They won't even be able to sell that out. Maybe in Sacramento, I don't know. With the Sacramento Rivercats, the San Francisco Giants AAA team. So that would be like the Guardians or the Reds making a new stadium and them playing here at Huntington Park.
No, it would be like the Reds building a new stadium and playing at the Huntington Park where the Guardians play because it's not even their own minor league affiliate.
Yes.
Which, by the way,
you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not even playing.
While the Reds are then moving to, like, I need to name your city.
Okay, so the
The Reds move to Nashville, and then they're going to play in Columbus for 3 years. That would be what this is like.
The A's AAA affiliate, I looked this up yesterday. It's tremendous. They who is their minor league? The Las Vegas. Okay, you know where their minor league affiliate is? The Las Vegas Aviators. They play in a nicer stadium in Vegas, which, by the way, is where they're moving. So does the AAA team then move? Do they move to Oakland? Is it a switcheroo type situation?
Good question. I've never heard of a minor league affiliate being in the same city as their major league affiliate.
Hey, you know, double your pleasure. You get everything you want. But their
they probably didn't do that because the A's are so bad that it would have soured the taste of them in Vegas that the city would have been like, these guys stink. We're not going to go when the new ballpark opens.
You should see the Las Vegas Aviators Stadium. Look it up. It is substantially nicer than the Oakland Coliseum. I mean, I looked at it yesterday.
Oh, it's beautiful. Got a pool in there.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, it's like a nicer newer Huntington Park.
Yeah.
Like, how in the heck is the minor league team playing in a nicer place than the major league team?
It is very nice.
It's ridiculous.
So here's the kicker on this. John Fisher, who's the owner of the Athletics, yesterday had a press conference in Sacramento. He's super pumped about being able to take over the stadium.
We're excited to be here for the next 3 years, playing in this beautiful ballpark, but also being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball. Whether they be athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, launch home runs out of this very intimate, the most intimate ballpark in all of Major League Baseball for the next 3 years.
Audible laughing in the back. There was audible laughing. So come watch our players hit home runs.
Maybe, or theirs.
Maybe theirs. You know, we'll be sure to make sure you're entertained. It's like coming to a show. You know, do you really care who wins or loses? No. But did you have a good time? That's what we're all about, Shark.
That's like when Precourt owned the Crew. All the Crew's media stuff was like, come see David Villa and New York FC, New York City FC when they traveled to Columbus. It's like, that is a bad marketing strategy. Nobody comes to see the other teams, unless it's Messi. But nobody is coming to watch the other team play.
It's because they're having
excited
marketing,
to watch. Come here and watch Aaron Judge launch grand slams as we lose 15-1.
Off our guys.
Off the guys that I'm paying a $14 million payroll.
We'll make sure we have our worst pitchers going when Aaron Judge is here. You want to see Shohei Ohtani hit home runs? Come on over here to the A's.
That guy is an embarrassment to all of Major League Baseball. CBJ with a six-pack left to go in the season. Jeff Sabota, he's going to join us to talk Jackets next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Friday to you. Right now, we are not tracking any major crashes across your Central Ohio interstates. We are seeing busy traffic build on I-71 near Polaris and on I-70 as you come in from the west side and meet I-670. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sugger.
You're listening to Rob Manfred's least favorite radio show. This is Morning Juice.
Hey, that was a pretty timely little bump back there. I think Rob Manfred would like what we had to say about their A's.
I mean, when does Rob Manfred literally step in and do something about that?
I don't know. I mean, it's a total disaster. And like other Major League Baseball owners have to be pretty pissed about that too.
I mean, it's atrocious. Like, their players can't, they're not going to enjoy going.
Bob, they just sent a guy down to AAA because he had a wristband supporting that they sell the team and keep the team in Oakland. And they've done that four times already this season. It's a disaster.
It's so tremendous.
Let's talk Jackets.
Morning Juice presents Talking Jackets.
Give it back to Johnny Gaudreau. Left wing circle. Takes a shot. And he scores. Here's Johnny.
Sponsored by Schottenstein Roofing. Proud partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Heading out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check with our good friend. He is Jackets insider Jeff Sabota. Jeff, thanks as always for the time, buddy. Always appreciate it. I mean, I know that you're a big Guards fan. You're super excited about their big win last night. I mean, are the A's pulling one out of the Coyotes playbook here with their ownership? And who's like the worst owner in professional sports? Because it's pretty bad out there.
How is this happening? This is unbelievable. And it's funny, I was thinking about this the other night, so I'm glad you guys were talking about it. It is just so embarrassing. And, I mean, the Guardians started the season in Oakland, and there was like 20 people in the stands? Yeah. I mean, it's so bad. And these teams, these are billion-dollar leagues. Like, figure it out. This is not that hard.
Well,
anyway.
Which is better? I mean, the Oakland A's or the Phoenix Coyotes?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of parallels, don't they? And unfortunately, what's different, though, is that the NHL is in this problem because they've wanted the Coyotes to succeed out there, and they've taken every possible opportunity to try to get them to stay, whereas, like, Major League Baseball has just pulled the chute on Oakland in such an embarrassing fashion. And you look at Arizona, and, I mean, Austin Matthews is from Arizona. I mean, you want – at least the NHL's trying to make a market work. It's not going great. But it could be worse, I suppose. It could be what the MLB is doing. But it's so embarrassing. It's ridiculous.
Are we going to go back to Atlanta for NHL expansion, Jeff?
I mean, it sure sounds that way.
I know.
And it seems as though, you know, I have not been to Atlanta much in my life. But people who have been there talk about how important location is just because of how big the city is. And so if you put an arena in the right place, it seems like it could work. But I just...
So that sounds like a great strategy.
I'm a little skeptical of a 33rd team, but we'll see how it goes.
Seems like it could work, Jeff. I love your optimism there. It seems.
Yeah. Well, I must admit, of all the cities in America that are massive cities, Atlanta is one I have never really been to, so I can't tell you much about it. But I would be fun. I have friends there, so I would love to go there one of these days, maybe for the NHL. But you know, the NHL. It's hard enough to win the Stanley Cup. You keep adding teams. Like, let's just stick with 32 for a little bit here.
Well, I mean, my thing is, does the city actually? It might be a big city. The demographics might look great. All these things, but do they actually want to consume the product that you're giving them? It's a little bit like the Marlins in South Florida. Like, we can build you a great stadium. We can do all this stuff. And he can have even have a great product. But do people want to go and watch it? I don't know if that's like the hockey tradition in Atlanta. It takes 2 decades to try to build something. You look at what it's done here in Columbus, and it's a northern market that people have been exposed to hockey before.
Right. No, that is a great point. I mean, you have to, it's not just if you build it, they will come. They have to want to come. And so I've read some stories about it, and it seems as though there is a market there. But again, it's I'm not an expert on the subject, but it'll be interesting to see, because you've got this Arizona thing that has to get figured out, and you've got some places that want teams. And so it seems like there's going to be some dominoes moving here at some point in the NHL. We'll have to see how it all goes. But I the thing that just kind of, I like 32. Like, I don't want to go past 32 as far as number of teams, but boy, when the money's out there, it's so hard to say no, isn't it? That's the moral of life, no matter where you're coming from.
He is Atlanta insider Jeff Sabota with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Let's speak away for the future real quick. New GM coming in here, 6 games left to go in the season. I know that the search has probably been done a little bit, Jeff, but it's really going to get hot and heavy here in a couple of weeks when the season comes to a close for the Jackets. Daniil Tarasov is an interesting prospect because he's been lights out, you know, for the better part since, what, February 21st? Like, he's been really good when we've seen him.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. And unfortunately, he had to leave last night. I almost feel like I have to start these now with, like, an injury report.
Yeah.
Like, we have to get a new sponsor to talk about the injuries, because he gets hurt last night because David, unfortunate situation where David Juracek is just trying to play the man and bumps him as he goes by, and then he has to... Daniil Tarasov has to leave the game. Jake Bean leaves the game. Johnny Gaudreau doesn't play because of illness. I mean, it's been ridiculous for a month now, and it's getting ridiculous. So I guess the silver lining of all this is you get a chance to see some of these young guys play, and Daniil Tarasov has been one of those guys and has been lights out. He's been excellent, and they've known for a long time. They got drafted, I think, in 2017. So I mean, this is a seventh or eighth year in the organization. They've known he's had talent, and it's just been injuries where he's just not been able to play and been able to stay out there. And unfortunately, what happened last night kind of feeds into that. But when he's been able to play, I mean, you've seen a goalie that looks like someone who could probably be a number one goalie. And so if you're a new general manager coming in, and you're right, that's going to get kind of pick up as the season ends. That's a pretty exciting thing to see, is that you've got a guy playing that well. Unfortunately, again, he's got to stay healthy. But as far as, you know, highlights of this season, you're looking for young guys, looking for guys that have gotten better. And, you know, we saw, you know, Marchie get his 21st goal last night. You know, there's been, you know, Voronkov has played well. I guess just keeping with the Russian theme, the nesting doll has been given out Saturday night. Tarasov has been a big part of that as well.
All right, before we get you out of here, Flyers in town tomorrow over at Nationwide Arena. If the Jackets beat the Flyers, or even if the Flyers win but it's ugly, do we get a vintage Torts press conference? He's been on a little bit of a tear this week.
Torts is, you know what's funny is that Torts has been the same guy for 20-some years now, and then everyone on Twitter seems to have discovered John Tortorella like this past week. It's been insane. He's doing the exact same things he did when he was the coach of the Blue Jackets. So it's kind of funny, but he is absolutely wound up right now, it seems like, and I cannot wait to see him when he's here in Columbus the next couple of days, because you know, they're a team that's battling for a playoff spot. He's done an incredible job there, but he's doing everything in his power. He's pulling out all the tortsisms, all the tricks that he can to get that team in the playoffs right now. And he doesn't look like he's having a lot of fun doing it, but he's trying his darndest. So it was funny. We had Ken Hitchcock in the building last night, one of the, you know, an NHL legend who is the Blue Jackets coach. Torts coming in. It's been kind of fun to see these guys this last little bit.
Buddy, always appreciate the time. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll check in again next Friday, all right?
All right, we'll hit the Oakland A's beat again next week.
Yeah, there he goes. Jackets insider, also Oakland A's insider, Jeff Sabota with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
I want to tell you about my friends over at Affinity Whole Health. Been a patient there for the last 7 years. If you're lacking mental clarity, energy, libido, you want better results in those areas, you should talk to my friends over at Affinity. With Affinity, you get everything. You get dedicated patient care coordinators. Allie and Jamie are great. They're available to help you with scheduling, placing orders. They'll answer all your questions. Affinity, they ship stuff right to your house. They ship it fast. There's never a delay, so you don't have to go to the office for your treatments. You can ask about their TRT programs. You can combine that with peptides like I did. They've got semaglutide for weight loss. They've got all kinds of different options that they'll customize to fit your needs and to make you the best version of yourself. So go get started at feelgreatcolumbus.com. That's feelgreatcolumbus.com. And tell them Bobby sent you.
Buckeyes, 8 days away from spring ball being over, culminating in the spring game next weekend at Ohio Stadium. We're going to check in with the latest happenings with Austin Ward next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Friday to you. Right now, we are not tracking any major crashes across your central Ohio interstates. We are seeing busy traffic build on I-71 near Polaris and on I-70 as you come in from the west side and meet I-670. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sugarwell.
Beamer and Shark love baseball. Bobby wants to murder Rob Manfred with his bare hands. See? A little something for everyone. This is Morning Juice.
Here's Long here, Friday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Time to check in with this fellow.
A guy who considers himself the mayor of Laramie, Wyoming, who holds the shuffleboard record at the Ranger, and most impressive, the commissioner of the Central Ohio Two-Man Scramble League. Here's Austin Ward.
Austin is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. We head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check in with him. What's the number countdown, Austin? I know you're in your maintenance stage. Happy Friday, buddy.
Yeah, happy Friday. I just did a pre-weekend weigh-in. That's been the way that my coach and I have settled on a plan for Awaken 180. I am down to 190 pounds, so that's over the 50 pounds that you're hearing on a lot of the ads. I don't imagine that when I return from Philadelphia on Monday that I will weigh 190 pounds.
That's right. We are going to Philadelphia. We're doing WrestleMania this weekend, aren't we?
Showcase of the Immortals. It's that time. It's a beautiful day to be alive, Beam. I mean, this is a bucket list for me. I know some people will laugh and snicker at that, and they have in, like, social media and YouTube comments. I don't care. I like wrestling, and this is the Super Bowl of wrestling. I've never got to go. I could not be more excited.
Why Philadelphia? Why this year?
Some of it is timing, Bob. Like, it happens to fall right in the middle of spring camp, and I don't like to leave practice availability or put somebody else in charge of having to do my job for a couple days. So we've had a lot of Saturdays where this might be Student Appreciation Day or another scrimmage that we get to cover. The way it lined up, Bill Landis and I both kind of looked at it and was like, that's the week before the spring game. That's usually not a week that we get to do anything. Ohio State scrimmage tends to be on a Friday. We don't get to cover that. Maybe there's an opportunity. Plus, Bill is from Philadelphia, so that was another draw for him personally, and then for me, it was something that we could drive to, and if there had been work for us to do today or tomorrow, that we could have, gotten in the car tomorrow and tried to make something work. It was not a drive that was inconducive to doing the job if need be, but the way it worked out is the best of all worlds, especially with the eclipse on Monday and no school for Liberty and all those other things. Like, this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, kind of like the eclipse. So sometimes the stars align, you know what I mean?
Are you more excited about seeing the wrestling action or traveling to Philadelphia with Philly native Bill Landis and drinking their creative cocktail, a shot and a beer with him?
Well, you know, why choose? If both of those things are equally appealing, you embrace all of it. This is the part, Beam, where I'll push back on all of Tim Hall's notion that the best part of the vacation is the anticipation. Yeah. There's no way. I mean, I am incredibly excited, but there's no possible letdown of hanging out in Philadelphia with Bill Landis and a bunch of other wrestling freaks.
It's going to be beautiful. What's been so beautiful this week about spring ball, Austin?
All of it. Good week. I think for Ohio State, you snap your fingers and suddenly it's almost over. This is the penultimate week of spring camp. The spring game is in 8 days. They'll wrap up with a pretty big practice this morning. And then they only have four left in all of next week. So it's gone quickly. It's gone, I think, pretty well from Ryan Day's perspective. Got that curveball with the running backs coach position being vacant for a little bit of it. And he stepped in to fill that before landing Carlos Lachlan, who I think there's a lot of reasons for Ohio State to be excited about the way that turned out. But, I think there have been good things. We're still in the afterglow of Jeremiah Smith stealing everybody's hearts in his first sort of quote-unquote public opportunity on that Student Appreciation Day scrimmage. I think that's still generating a lot of the buzz, and rightfully so. There's no separation or resolution that I could really speak on at quarterback. And I think I've come around to the realization that that's fine for Ohio State to carry that into this offseason if that's what needs to happen, because both Will Howard and Devin Brown and even Lincoln Kienholz have done enough good things that in some form or fashion, it feels different for Ohio State than it maybe did at this time a year ago in spring. So it's fun to just be around them and talk to them right now because there's so much talent. And it's always a sight to behold. Like, this team really has just about everything you could possibly want.
He is Austin Ward with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I mean, you mentioned him. Jeremiah Smith was taking the internet by storm and was taking the Woody by storm, really, since he's got to campus. Austin, I want you to put your prediction machine on. I know that we're obviously a few months away from the season starting here at Ohio State, but what is his role going to look like if he does all the little things right, which looks like he is obviously doing in practice?
Yeah. I knew that there was a lot of potential, and we've been through enough times with Brian Hartline. It's like, well, hey, tap the brakes a little bit. You got to be an all-around receiver. You got to do this. You got to do that before you can really crack the rotation. This guy's not in that same mold. He showed up physically ready. He showed up with even a simple 9-10 yard out route last week. He was getting easy separation on good cornerbacks, very good cornerbacks. Like, he does seem to already understand the little things. Now, a thud up, not full contact practice, I understand, is completely different than playing in the Big Ten and trying to win a national championship. But it's hard for me to really watch the things that he does without being in those settings yet and think that it's not going to be natural for him, just as it has been in the practice settings we've seen. I don't know what that Beamer looks like in terms of catches, yards, touchdowns, but there's going to be a top four rotation for Ohio State. Jeremiah Smith is absolutely going to be in it, and there's no doubt in my mind about that. And he could, if you narrow it down to a top three or a top two rotation, he may well be in that as well. I think there's really – I take the approach every year with true freshmen to be patient. And it's not just to be a wet blanket, but it's hard to play this game at a high level. But this is the first time that I can really remember seeing a true freshman in a spring and being like, okay, that guy's already got it.
All right, before we get you out of here, we need you to get you down to cover some crew, as you did for the MLS Cup Final, and find out what's going on with Cucho, Austin. We need to get you down there and find out.
Why are you trying to throw a downer on my weekend, man? I am all for having a great culture for the crew. Like, that sounds awesome. That's what's going to win championships. But some people, and Bobby, I think, can maybe attest to this a lot better than me, the rules can be different for your best player, can't they? I mean, Cucho needs to be on the field for the crew. That's the end of the statement from me.
End statement 30, boilerplate. Buddy, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Safe travels to you. Enjoy WrestleMania. Get me a shirt, and we'll check in again next Friday on the eve of the spring game, all right?
Yeah, can't wait. We'll talk to you guys then.
There he goes. Austin Ward with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
Attention all business owners. If you own a business, medical practice, maybe you just have really complicated tax returns, it's time to pay attention. Listen up. I want to tell you about Brad Hennebert from Premier Tax CPAs. Brad, he's from Central Ohio. He runs a successful business over in Westville, and he's the guy you should call for your business accounting needs. Premier Tax CPAs isn't just a, quote, tax time CPA firm. Brad and his team work with you throughout the year, and so they're going to help you plan each and every month so they can advise you directly on your tax planning needs. So it's not a last second, end of the year type thing. They will help you out. They will help you plan the way that you need to put you in the best and most successful tax position. So call Premier Tax CPAs at 614-524-4888. That's 614-524-4888.
Plenty to be juiced about here on this Friday edition of the program. We'll do that next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Friday to you. Right now, we are not tracking any major crashes across your central Ohio interstates. We are seeing busy traffic build on I-71 near Polaris and on I-70 as you come in from the west side and meet I-670. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sagarwal.
Fan.
If this show made a scented candle, it would smell like bad coffee, unwashed jockstrap, and grass clippings.
I wasn't sure how you take your coffee.
You're listening to Morning Juice.
So, mouth or enema?
We here on The Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Healthy Leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
What's got you juiced?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, Bob, big Friday, buddy. First weekend in the month of April. Got the spring game coming up next weekend. Big scrimmage tomorrow. What's got you juiced, man?
The big scrimmage is actually today, Dean.
Oh, okay.
They get tomorrow off. Yeah, right. So head over there. Going to get a little workout, watch some of the scrimmage. Should be a fun time. Should be a good time with that. Got dinner planned tonight. Excited for that. Ooh. Yeah, maybe going to check out the Top Beam.
Over
in Bexley. Get out
it's
of
been the, a couple of years since I've been there.
Yeah, we went there maybe last year, but it had been before that.
It's good. It's 10, a fun place to go.
10 years. Yeah, I'm excited to get over there. They renovated it, made it a little bigger and everything.
An awesome patio over there.
They added on. It looks good. They did a great job with it. So excited about that. Going to head over to the Jackets game tomorrow.
All right.
Excited to see that. Philly coming to town. Our guy Torts. Cam coming back. So excited to see all that. It should be a fun weekend. I'm not juiced about this weather. That doesn't have me very excited, but outside of that, things are pretty good. We've got a track meet tomorrow, so that's going to probably be cold and brutal, but that's where we're at. And this is, we live in Ohio, so you get to experience all four seasons in a week, which is beautiful.
Hey, the good news for you is Monday, it's supposed to be 73 degrees.
That's good. So. I want to take the Jeep. I got a new bumper on it. Excited to do that. So be able to do that. Shark, why don't we play, let's play little Goggins and... Jocko for Beamer here.
I do not feel sorry for you. I will not sugarcoat what I'm going to say to you, because all of you know what I'm saying is the truth. Hard work looks horrible. It's not motivating. It's not motivating at all.
Motivation is a feeling that comes and goes, and it doesn't matter whether it's there or not. Discipline is infinitely more important. So no matter how you feel, get up and do what you're supposed to do. That's it. And that's discipline. It's not motivation.
Couple of Navy SEALs right there talking about how to get things done, Beam. Hard work is terrible.
Yeah,
get up and do it.
Nobody likes it.
Get up and do it. Do what you're supposed to do regardless of how you feel. And Shark's excited for this weekend feeling. What's Shark's feeling?
Here's how I like my banana bread. I cut them up and I butter them up and then I heat it up so the butter saturates the banana bread. And then I sprinkle a little bit of sugar on top of there.
That butter just soaks right into the bread. Just
what did he say this week? His mom, my mom didn't have many recipes.
Banana bread.
But she had about four pumpkin loaf and banana.
Yeah, pumpkin bars and banana bread. I cut them up, then I butter them up, then I heat them up.
Yeah. And I put some sugar on top.
Yesterday, I had the pleasure of being in the company of Beamer's Prince Will, and I haven't seen every one-year-old in the world, but of all the one-year-olds I've seen, he's the cutest boy that I've seen. Love that kid. And speaking of that, Pia, little Pia, my granddaughter.
One today.
One-year-old today.
All right.
Going to have a big party for her tomorrow.
What's the theme? I know that Megan and Jake have a theme for it. I know that they do.
They have a theme, and I don't remember. Strawberries, maybe? I don't know.
Strawberries.
I'll be honest with you. I think one-year-old birthday parties are ridiculous.
They're for the parents to come and get drunk.
Yeah.
Well, so we had two parties. One for the family that was down in Dayton. That was very above board. Few beers were had. And then we had one at a brewery here in Columbus with our friends up here for us.
You took Will to the brewery?
I told you a couple of weeks ago when we were repainting our front room after our ceiling fell down on itself, that we took my stepdad to a brewery for the first time. Like, he had never been to one before. And I'm like, William has been into every brewery in the Columbus metro area. Like, he knows how a brewery operates better than my stepdad, who is 64 years old. 66 years old, actually.
He knows the bartenders by name.
Oh, of course. The bartenders definitely know him by name.
Juiced about the Guards, 8 games in 8 days to start the season, 6-2 record in 3 different cities. They get the day off finally today and then finish the weekend in Minnesota. And
what are you going to do? What are you going to do tonight?
I'm going to watch the women's NCAA tournament, I guess.
How did they handle that hostile Oakland crowd?
Well, Bob, it was opening day in Minnesota yesterday, and they handled that crowd really well. That sold out stadium at Target Field. So that I'm really juiced about them. Let me tell you a little story quickly. I was divorced in 1984.
Okay.
Is that the year you were born, Bob?
40 years ago.
83.
So when Bob was 1 year old, I got divorced. And I just kind of, you know, meandered my way through life for the next 5 years. And then on March 31st
woke up in a brothel one day.
Of 89, I had a blind date. My best friend sent me up on a blind date. And a year later, let me think, it would be 34 years, Bobby. 34 years ago today, Jan and I flew to Hawaii.
Wow.
Worked that morning, got off the radio station, flew to Hawaii, and we got married on the 7th. So Sunday
this weekend,
go. Sunday will be our 34th anniversary, and so I am juiced about that. And then finally, if you're out driving around tonight after 8 o'clock or even before 8 o'clock and you want to hear Timmy Hall on the Buckeye Show, after the show, we're going to join the women's NCAA Final Four in progress.
All right.
So you'll hear the completion of the South Carolina North Carolina State game, and then the entirety of the big one, Connecticut against Iowa. Just a little programming reminder for you, Beam.
I love that, Shark. I've got so many questions. What did you guys do on your blind date when you and Jan were set up? Do you remember?
We went to a barbecue joint called Flo and Eddie's.
Okay,
up on Bethel Road, corner of Bethel and Sawmill. Now there is.
And you went. Then you walked across the street.
Now there's an REI.
That's where it was. I think that. No. That's where Rocky's was. Anyway, we had dinner. We went downtown to see a musical at the Vern Rife Theater called Cole, about Cole Porter, and then we went back to Rocky's for a little Long Island iced tea.
Nice.
And then we went to her apartment, and we stayed up all night talking. And at 9 o'clock in the morning, I said, Jan, I'm sorry, I've got the boys today. I got to go pick up my boys. And
I was hoping you were going to say, and then at 2, I told Jan I had to go to work.
Yeah, probably. So anyway, thanks for asking, Bean.
Yeah, of course, man.
It was love at first sight for me. That's I don't know about her.
Yeah, took
some drinks and convincing.
Hey, that's okay. When Meredith and I first started dating, she said, I don't really have time for this. And I said, okay. And here we are, what would that be, 14 years later, married?
She still don't have time for you.
No, yeah. Nothing has changed on that front. What's
that was like a long engagement, right?
What?
5 years or something?
Oh, it was, we got engaged in 2017. We started dating in 2010.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I mean, we were high schoolers, yeah, high school. Like, we were juniors and seniors in high school, and then we navigated college. And
Shark said get married when you're really young. It worked out well for him.
Yeah. and then it was a couple of years after we had been living together, and then finally I decided to stop dragging my feet and made the best decision of my life. So that's got me fired up, Shark, finding out about your first date and everything. What else has me fired up is a story out of Los Angeles and kind of an Ocean's 11, the town heist. We'll get you filled in on that. I'll tell you all about that coming up next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, no major crashes or tie-ups that we're watching across your Central Ohio interstates. We are seeing things pick up on I-71 near Polaris and on 33 westbound on the southeast side. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sagerwal.
Bobby played football for Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. Beamer played football for a drunk named Joe who worked at the gas station. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Hour number three of the program for us on a Friday. Brandon Beam, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Coming up here about 30 minutes time, we're going to check in with our good friend AJ Hawk. Got a chance to talk to him last night because he is, what, heading to WrestleMania? He's doing something today. He's traveling, so had a chance to sit down with him last night. We're going to listen to that come up here in about 30 minutes or so.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little re-rack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Islanders 4, Jackets 2. 6 games left to go. Flyers in town tomorrow at 7 o'clock. 6:30 coverage will begin for us right here on The Fan. Women's Final Four tonight, South Carolina, NC State at 7 o'clock. At 8 o'clock after the Buckeye Show tonight, that will be right here on The Fan. And then UConn and Iowa will tip things off around 9:30 a little bit later on up in Cleveland. Men's Final Four tomorrow is at 6 on ESPN Columbus. And you're asking yourself, Brandon, what is ESPN Columbus? Well, that is 97.1 FM HD2 if you have a new radio. Like if you've got a new car out there and you click the 2 button, that'll take you to ESPN Columbus. It's also our AM station, 1460 AM.
I mean, new is a relative term. I'd say new-ish. Like, yeah,
newer.
I think they've had the HD2 stuff probably in cars for at least the last 6-7 years.
Newer than my 1999 Buick Regal.
Well, yeah, Mace Windu, he did not understand the HD2 signaling.
Yeah, he didn't understand that. He did understand the cassette tape that had an audio jack in it that you could plug into your old
phone. The wire that came out of it? Absolutely.
That was sweet.
So after we talked to AJ last night, I went over there down in Arlington, so I stopped over. Had a couple drinks. Just probably one, actually. Made a drink and sat there. And we, what do you want to watch? Like, well, let's just watch. He had some NBA on. Like, let's put some old Office on. And he goes, I don't want to watch it. It was Michael's last episode. It was the last two episodes of Michael. He's like, this makes me sad.
Yeah.
But sat there and watched a little bit of The Office. And AJ is the worst to watch TV with. And Laura was yelling at him. She's like, dude, you cannot. He keeps changing the channel. What? Anytime there's a commercial, he just changes it.
Even if he's just watching a show?
Yes.
I do that during sports if I'm in sports watching mode
all
where I
the time.
Go back and forth between games. But shows, I stay on and stay through the commercials.
No, he does it all the time. He is an ADD watcher. He just is bouncing all the time. I'm like, dude, bring it back. I don't need to see the Knicks and whoever the heck they were playing.
The Kings.
The King. That's right. The Dunk Kings.
They just showed it on SportsCenter. That's why I know that.
It was like, it was 103-103. I do remember it was tied at one point late in the game.
The city shares with the Oakland A's, the Sacramento Oakland A's of Las Vegas.
Absolutely. It's basically what it was. We're sitting there having some drinks. He was just bouncing all around. It was intense. And then we put these little, these cold helmets on that he wears all the time to help prevent CTE. I don't know, like it's like a wrap that you have in the freezer you put around your head. So he sat there with those.
Is it like a gel pack wrap?
Yeah. Okay. He also has one that's like a full thing that you can go on, like a full helmet. I've got a picture of it with one of my kids wearing it. It honestly works really well for hangovers, too, in the morning.
Good.
You got like a headache.
All right.
I got to figure out where it is. Ours, I think it's in the freezer outside. I haven't worn it in a while. AJ wears them every night. Swears it's keeping his brain fresh and rejuvenated, keeping the swelling off of it. Jeez. Like, hey, you know what? Whatever works. When he always has stuff, he'll try to go. And it's like, where's the big helmet? He goes, I don't have enough space in this fridge. He's like, we got these two little wraps. So he put them on. And they have like a little nose cut. You can put them over your eyes if you really want to take them all the way down. It was tremendous. Like, he always has some sort of weird new invention.
Well, we know that he loves Amazon. And he loves, what is it? It's not Brooks Brothers.
Sky Mall.
And what's the old place in the mall where you could go in with like all the technology?
Oh, Brookstone.
Brookstone, not Brooks Brothers.
Yeah, he's just not much for the suits.
Yeah.
But he is much for, I mean, the amount of stuff that he's bought off Brookstone and Sky Mall over the years is pretty amazing.
I always wanted that chess piece set that was like Lord of the Rings style. Oh. And you could buy the ring out of the Sky Mall mag.
He had the wallet. I don't know if you ever saw in there. There was a steel case.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that. You could like slide your. Yeah. He had that for a while. I'm like, but the problem is it's so hard. You can't really put it in your front or back pocket. It's uncomfortable. I'm like, yeah, but
it's steel.
But it's steel. No one can steal your identity through their scanners, and it will never get crushed. But, yeah, he's bought just a number of items through there. He's the guy that will go back and then search. Before phones, like, you used to have to look through it, and then you go to skymall.com, and
right.
He would go back on his laptop and, like, search things and figure out stuff.
Oh, I've got the catalog number. I already know what I need.
It was exactly. Search it by catalog item number and find it and buy it. He's a totally unique beast, but it was a lot of fun. Anytime getting a chance to sit there and talk, I feel like we're sitting back on 180 West Norwich. It's a little nicer place, you know, better TV.
I think you guys, I mean, one weekend should just show up. We had a
180 West Norwich?
Yeah, we had a couple of people do that. So we lived at, 98 East Woodruff. Is where we lived at, or 96 East Woodruff. It was either 96 or 98.
So you were right by...
Outer Inn. Super close to Outer Inn.
Inn. But there was that big, on the north side of Woodruff, left as you were walking towards...
Yeah, but we were on the north side.
There was that big, it was like I'd say building, but it was...
Yeah.
With the parking lot and everything.
Yeah.
So that's my partner, I owned that for a long time. You said that because that's 90, think that is 98 Wood. If you were right beside that.
Yeah. Then. Well, you know what? We were at 100. We were literally next door neighbors to that.
That's remarkable.
Yeah. The one that was real weird when you walked in with the parking lot next door. We were right.
It's got like 13 spots.
Yeah.
It's,
we were right next to that.
But
right?
it has three different units that have six beds in it apiece. Yeah. It's amazing that you said that because you said that. I was like, that's the one address I had in my mind because that was the name.
Yeah. We were at 100.
Yeah. Of our LLC. That's phenomenal. That is good stuff.
We called our house the dirty hole.
I could see where that would be a dirty hole.
Yeah, because it should have been condemned. That's we had a mouse hunt in there one time.
That's good, yeah.
We had mice in that building.
Why not?
Yeah, bed bugs, black mold, all kinds of good stuff.
So you say that. That's one of the things about in college. Like you drive by, you live there. And, you know, people would knock. Like you said, when we lived over on 13th, we had some people that knocked. Yeah, you want to come on in?
Yeah, we had a couple of guys did that when we lived in there. Like, oh, man, we just want to come in and see the place, how much it's changed. Like, you were here 5 years ago. It hasn't changed that much.
So my brother was down. I had a bunch of my buddies that went to OU, and my brother played there. And so they would go down occasionally, catch a game. Like they played a Maxim, a lot of Wednesday, Thursday night games, and they were good. So I'd go down and watch him, and then just go out with him, stay with him on Thursday. I was doing the show with Rothdog at the time, so I could wake up. I promised Court, you know, we had young kids. I'd always be back by like 8 or 9, so I could help with them in the morning. So I'd have to get up at 7. So I talked to one of my buddies in one night. They came down with his dad, who also went to OU. To come down and you know, we go out and stay. And I think I talked, it was just one of them. And the other one went back. Yeah, went back. So he stays like, I'll drop you off on the way back to my house. Get your, because he drove down with his parents. I'll stop at your parents, get your car outside of Lancaster and head home. It's like, I got to leave early though. It's part of the rules.
Yep.
So we go down. He overserves himself that
course,
night.
As you do.
I have to like continually keep an eye on him because he just keeps wandering out of the bars we're in, and I'm like, I don't want to have to find you in the next day. And then
you're gonna be left here.
And we went to like one house party at the end of the night, and I stayed by the front door so that he wouldn't be able to leave. Unbeknownst to me, there was and we were like the third floor, right by the stair, like the front stairs. There was a like fire stairwell in the back.
Good.
Like the metal one, steel one, and he went down that. And so we're like walking up and down Court Street, and like, oh my gosh, trying to find
him. Sure, it'll be easy to find him there.
And so my brother and I, we literally spent like, it was cold. It was late in the year, like Maxion, November, 30, 25, 30 degrees outside. So I'm freezing. Check everywhere. We checked the police station, and everywhere we went was looking down the hill because I'm like, dude, he's so drunk that no drunk person
he's not gonna walk up the hill.
He's gonna go up the hill. Those hills in Athens are steep. Like he's not going up the hill, always down. So eventually we give up. So I text him the next day. I'd called him a bunch. No response, obviously. So the next day I text him, it's 7 o'clock, 6:45.
Like, hey, go.
It's time to go, man. I'm leaving. Like, where are you at? He's like, I'm on your brother's couch. My brother lived, oh goodness. I can't even think. Down Mill Street. He lived kind of far away. So that's far relative, probably half mile walk, 3/4 mile. So we walk down. I wake up. I walk out. And I'm sleeping in my brother's room. He has a bed and then a futon. So I'm sleeping on the futon. He goes, I'm on your brother's couch. So I'm thinking like, okay, funny. He probably crashed somewhere and he's back. I walk out like, you in his house? He's like, oh, I hear some rustling moving. He goes, go to the BP on the corner of Court. And then go up Congress, I think. And so I'm driving, and I'm like, oh my. And then I see the only place, it's still dark outside, the only place that has a light on the first floor. And I see him kind of stumbling around. He's like, comes on out. He's like, hey.
I slept here last night.
Well, obviously. And he goes, hey, you know where my sweatshirt is? I'm like, it's the one you have on. He's like, this isn't the same one I was wearing. I'm like, it looks like similar enough. It was a gray OU sweatshirt. I don't know. It looked like
this one had the Bobcat logo.
Yeah, I don't know. One had an OU, one had a Bobcat, whatever. So yeah, it was one of my favorite ones. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Just take that and make this one your new favorite.
In the car. And I'm like, by the way, whose house is that? He's like, my buddy used to live there. And I'm like, like 10 years ago.
Who was staying in that house?
I don't know, man. They said it was cool. I could just sleep on the couch.
Yes.
I'm like, so you wandered back to this place, went in there. You're like 32 years old.
It's like the scene out of Beer Fest where they have to get the guy super drunk to understand the password 100%. When they get back into Beer
Fest. He's like, yeah, bro, it's cool. And then he's like, dude, they had the one window open down here. I couldn't figure out how to close it. I was freezing on their couch. like, whatever, dude. I'm exhausted because I went to bed at 2:30. Like,
looking for you.
From looking for you. Get in the car and let's go. And then the best part was, he's like, oh, man, I didn't even tell Rachel I was staying. And I'm like, I told him to call his girl wife now, fiance at the time. I go, man, call her now before you get to a place where you're not going to want to call her psychologically. And of course, I didn't do that. But what he did do was call her at some point later in the night. Lord knows, and then she had left like 8 messages, a lot of calls, super concerned. I'm like, hey, buddy, that's not my monkey, not my circus. Yeah. You're going to be the one dealing with that. Okay, so have fun with that when you get home. I gave you the advice of what to do at 10 p.m. so that you would set yourself up for success. You chose an alternate path.
Don't you feel good when you ultimately end up being right in those situations and the other person just screws themselves?
It's like, dude, I told you to call her. We're walking out of the game. Hey, you're going to stay down
here. Future Bob is going to regret this.
Yep, and you chose not to. And bad idea for you.
Yeah, we had a couple of guys knock on our doors. Like, hey, bro, we used to live in here. What are you guys doing? We're like, oh, just drinking beers. You want to come in?
Yeah, you want a beer?
Yeah, sure. Like, oh, love what you've done with the place. Thanks. Had a bunch of alcohol bottles in there with highlighter fluid and a black light. Make it look like a party.
Yeah. Oh, that's the same poster was here. Yeah, it was here when we got here.
Yeah, still there.
It's still there for 5 years.
Still a Grateful Dead poster on the wall. Absolutely. That looks pretty good. New linebackers coach James Laurinaitis. He's already hit the ground running on recruiting. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and happy Friday. Right now, no crashes that we are watching, but we're seeing a little bit of slow-moving traffic on 161 in those eastbound lanes in and out of the New Albany area. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sagar.
Beamer is tweeting about Formula One.
Oh, hells yes.
Bobby is tweeting Rick Springfield concert video. Both are a cry for help.
This is one twisted mother.
This is Morning Juice.
Before we hear from James, I told you about this story happening in Los Angeles. It's coming from the Associated Press. Los Angeles, California. Thieves got away with $30 million in cash from a money storage facility in Los Angeles by breaking into a building on Easter Sunday and cracking the safe inside. Now detectives are seeking to unravel the brazen cash heist, reportedly one of the largest on record in Los Angeles. Police Commander Elaine Morales told the Los Angeles Times, which broke the news of the crime, that the thieves were able to breach the building as well as the safe where the money was stored. The operators of the business did not discover the massive theft until they opened the vault. Media reports identified the facility as a location of GardaWorld, a global cash management and security company in Slimar, California.
So hold on. They major in security and they're getting robbed?
They major in security in transporting cash, but they didn't protect the building. So, like, they have armored cars and all kinds of stuff to transport.
It's like Brinks.
It's like Brinks. It's a Brinks, not a Brinks facility, but it's like Brinks. You're right. Cash transport. And their building where they had the cash in the vault got robbed. They have no clue who did it. Comb security footage, everything, don't see anything. It's just $30 million gone, poof.
Do you think they had a tiny little Asian man inside something that someone wheeled
maybe,
in there?
Maybe. And he was actually inside the vault?
Yeah, the whole time. They didn't even know it. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. That
Don
is.
Cheadle is a British lad, yeah. Blew open the side of the building.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Being Bonnie, being Rebel, I mean, Trouble.
That's amazing.
That's, I mean, I'm going to tell you this. That's, I'm thoroughly impressed. They say like big time heists, you know, it's all wire theft. Yeah. You know, people want to steal your identity, you know, get your information via your credit card numbers, your bank accounts, and just take digital currency. I give a lot of props to someone going back to the old school.
30 mil cash robbery.
30 million in cash.
That's Craig, a lot. What does that look like?
That's a lot of bags.
Well, the largest denomination is the $100 bill. That's a lot of $100 bills.
Yeah.
They have some.
That has to weigh a lot. Like
there's $500,000 bills out there, but they're just purely for collection. I mean, they're worth the tender, but I don't think they make them anymore.
They don't.
So they could be in there. Like one of my friends collects them.
I think Woodrow Wilson may have been on the $1,000 bill.
I think you might be right in that. But, I mean, still, the hundreds is the generally the most. So, I mean, how many $100 bills is that? Like 30 million? That's
30 mil divided by 100.
300,000.
300,000 stacks. I mean, that's a lot.
Oh, my God.
It's a lot. It's heavy.
Of course,
I mean,
that's what
I'm saying. Like, this—it's not something you just put in your back pocket and walk out of there.
No,
my goodness,
I need to find out more. I mean, that's pretty remarkable to do it, and I mean, you're doing it on Easter Sunday, where you know that nobody's going to be there.
So this has, like you said, the town feel. Yeah.
We're gonna rob the cathedral
a little bit, like Ocean's 11. Yeah. We're gonna do it on fight night when they have the most. Then they do. We're gonna pick a time Sunday. They're gonna have a ton of cash in here. No one's gonna be there. It's gonna be Easter. We're gonna get them.
Well, that boss.
I'm sorry. Do you think that the movies are pretty accurate? That they've got the security laser beams that you have to.
I'm sure they have motion stuff. Yeah. I don't know if there's actual lasers you put down. You spray the fog on them to see them.
What's the movie with Sean Connery where they're going through?
The Rock?
It's not The Rock, no. But what's her name when she's like dancing through the lasers? Catherine Zeta-Jones is like dancing through the lasers. The Night Fox also does that in one of the Ocean's movies where he's like doing that. The third one, 13.
The Night Fox, yeah.
I think Tom Cruise had to do that in one of the Mission Impossible.
Well, yeah, he's hanging there over top. Yeah.
And he's got a sweat bead that he doesn't want to have to drop.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. That's,
I mean, think about all these premeditated like robberies. That art robbery that happened in Boston all those years ago. I mean, that was on St. Patrick's Day where they knew the police would be focusing on other things.
People are, hey, man, they're good. I honestly hope they don't get caught. if you were able to get in and get out and get $30 million out of there, kudos to you.
Nearly 2 years ago, as much as $100 million in jewels in Los Angeles and other valuables were stolen from a Brinks big rig at a Southern California truck stop. The thieves have not been caught in that either.
What was this, like heat? They threw down a road strip and busted the tires, then went in, beat up the guard. Like, that's. I'm just trying to figure out how these things happen. I mean, you see it happen in the movies. It usually always goes a little awry, and it's never smooth. But, I mean, you're telling me you got $100 million in jewels and someone else got $30 million in cash? Or maybe it's the same people?
It could be the same people. We don't know. Jim McGuffey, who's an armored car expert and security consultant, called the Slimar theft a shock and said that any such facility, and this one in particular, had two alarm systems and a seismic motion detector on the safe.
Okay, so this is real. Yeah. I mean, so they've got, like, the old school drill, probably, like... That is unbelievable that that's how this actually works.
It's pretty remarkable.
I mean, I they made $30 million. They could probably make about $250 on a documentary of this because the amount of people that would want to go see this thing, they made a movie of it.
Nick said Entrapment. Yes, that is the movie with Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
But I mean, think about it. You made $30 million on this. Hey, I'll give you the money back if you don't arrest us. I'll tell you how we did it. Just give us the movie rights as we write it.
Yeah.
Because you know how many people would love to see that?
$500 million in the box office.
Oh, 100%. You get some good actors in there, this plot line, that's phenomenal.
Call it Ocean's 14. Get the gang back together.
Billy and the crew.
$30 million would be light for them. They're at like $600-700 million when they do it.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody knows. Nobody knocks off Terry Benedict and gets away with it. James Laurinaitis had some media availability earlier in the week. He was talking about, well, he doesn't want traitors on his linebacker's room.
I always felt when I was here that they were trying to out-recruit me, which is the reality, right? Which is why it prepares you so well for the National Football League. That's why Ohio State prepares you so well for the league, because now it's like they're trying to outdraft you. And so I use that as fuel, but I also saw it firsthand. You know, like there was a season where it was John Kerr, Marcus Freeman, certain guys rotating week to week. And so I saw, like, shoot, if it could happen to them, it could happen to me. So I just tried to be a certain way in practice. Like, I tell the guys all the time, you have to control the things that take no talent. You have to eliminate all loafs. Like, if you loaf on the field, you're a traitor. Like, you should just go play for the other team. Like, we can't be coaching effort. And then you can't have mental errors. Because if you have a mental error, then it can't trust you. So those were the two things that I always, as a player, was like, all right, you're not going to catch me loafing, and you're definitely not going to catch me not knowing what I'm supposed to do. I might get beat, and that's inevitable. It's football. Everyone's on scholarship, right? But those two things you can control every single day.
You said that's a Luke Fickleism.
It is. They're on scholarship, too. Everybody's going to get beat. I mean, but do you know what to do when you play really hard? Those things take no effort. Don't be a traitor, Beam. No. Don't be out there playing for the other team.
Don't be a saboteur.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Speaking of saboteurs, AJ Hawk is up next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Happy Friday right now. No crashes to let you know about if you're heading out. We are watching busy traffic, though, on 161 eastbound in and out of the New Albany area and on I-71 coming in to downtown Columbus. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Sutter.
just a couple of dudes being guys.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
You're listening to Morning Juice.
Before we get to listen to AJ from last night, when we get to talk to him, say goodbye to Busted Brackets, because FanDuel lets you bet on every game at the tourney, whether you're betting a big upset or a one seed. Biggest upset would be, well, UConn being taken down. Maybe NC State against Purdue. Got a couple of number one seeds left. It's time to go dancing on America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers, you're going to get $200 in bonus bets. If your first $5 bets win, that's 200 smackaroos, which then you can do whatever you want with, Bob.
Well, like you said, there's point spread, money lines. You pick who's going to win it all. So go visit FanDuel.com/juice to bet on college hoops until they cut down the nets. And a month of madness is almost complete. Must be 21 or older, present in Ohio. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issues, not withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
A man with many career achievements. Leading tackler in Centerville football history. Leading tackler in Green Bay Packers history. Still afraid of Larry Nofsinger. And the crowning achievement, the third member of the Island Boys, A.J. Hawk.
Sponsored by FanDuel, the exclusive online sportsbook partner of Morning Juice. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/juice.
Head down to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check with our good friend, A.J. Hawk. Age, happy Friday, buddy. What's happening? Did your suitcases ever show up in Jamaica? What's going on?
Yes, happy Friday to you guys. Luckily, our suitcases did show up about, you know, the second night we were there, I guess. So what's cool is we found out that they were never loaded on the plane in Columbus. So when we got to Jamaica, we found that out. So they did a good job getting back to us. We just had to, wear some local Jamaican garb that we picked up the first night we got there. So I got a sweet Bob Marley soccer jersey. I got some new trunks and a Jamaican flag. Like, we got some new stuff.
So I know you're a big fan of The Office. I know that you adore Steve Carell as Michael Scott. Did you get the braid, you know, that Steve Carell did?
I did not. I definitely thought about it. I thought about you, Bob, as well, because the one little, like, Venus and Serena deal with the beads, like, they used to have in their hair. I wanted the one just like Michael Scott, but, you know, I'm gonna let you do that one. I feel like you did do that, like, 10 years ago, Bob. You had one, I think.
It's not a feeling. I had a full lower rack of braids with beads while we were playing. When we had the long hair, I mean, it was a pretty big deal. I'd actually wear a sock hat, so when I hang cleaned, the beads wouldn't hit me in the mouth. I was afraid they're going to chip my teeth. So I embraced my full inner AJ Hawk. Like, I was an Island boy for quite a while. I would not have taken them out outside the fact that I was getting married and Courtney was not about to have that. So your memory does serve you correct with that. My problem is, you guys have been back for a week. And I've been checking my email frantically because I've been waiting for the picture that you were going to send out of you and Laura, similar to Michael and Jan from their time in Jamaica.
Oh, the one that maybe if I do send it out, you can blow it up and make it 6 feet by 4 feet and put it on the wall somewhere for everybody to see. But yeah, I don't know. I'll have to go through my photo roll, Bob. But yeah, I know Michael's. That picture is amazing. Now that you say it, I'm just thinking of that picture. We need that as a poster somewhere. I have not seen that anywhere. Well, it would be awesome to get that.
There's a lot of opportunities for Christmas cards with that, AJ. I'm just telling you. I mean, I think it would be a pretty remarkable situation for the whole crew. You know, Laura's the centerpiece, and then you and the four children kind of flanking her. I think it would be great.
I mean, yeah, I think it would too. But to be what it should be is maybe the four kids are around and I'm laying down and Laura's rubbing suntan lotion on my back. Ooh. That would be more, that would make more sense because my pasty white skin and how I have to reapply, you know, suntan lotion every 12 minutes.
You know, I love that. You know, you're a little fair skinned. So am I. You have a tan wife. So do I. Your kids are all pretty fair though, right? Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, they all have, most of them kind of have my skin, but my two youngest actually can get kind of tan compared for a hawk, I guess. I would say. So yeah, they can get more tan than us, but it's all relative, I guess.
All right. Hawk with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. How red did you get, Age, when you were out there doing 2 days either at Ohio State or at Centerville? Because I feel like you may have been turned into a lobster at some point.
I didn't learn to put on that I could spray suntan lotion on my arms until I got to the NFL. So I got burnt for a long time. I started wearing long sleeves at practice. The thing is, when you're out there, like in training camp, practicing with your pads on, you get a gigantic, awful farmer's tan on your arm. And the thing about me is, once that farmer's tan sets in nice and deep, it doesn't go away. So all of a sudden you're watching a game, and I'm watching a game on Thanksgiving time when I'm playing. We're watching the film back, and I'm wondering why I have such a terrible farmer's tan in November. I hadn't seen the sun in 3.5 months, but that's what I was trying to stay away from. And I practiced in long sleeves every single day of my NFL career. I don't think there was ever a practice I didn't wear long sleeves.
That's pretty remarkable. So we were listening to James a little bit earlier on, and I really do feel like he was pulling one out of either Ron Ullery or Sparky Bell on this. He said, I mean, I don't want people that's going to be here to do something selfish and be a traitor. What do you think about that? Like, if somebody does something against the team and that they're a traitor, AJ, I mean, senior, leader, individual, what do you think about that?
A saboteur? You're talking about a saboteur in the ranks? No, we don't deal with saboteurs. You can, that's the first thing I learned in Centerville, Ohio. Sparky, Greg Bell. I mean, come on now. We knew, like, that was our team name, actually. When I would play at Centerville football camp coming up, like probably sixth grade, my team name was always the Saboteurs. When we would have like the 7-on-7 situation we do at the end. So starting when I was probably 11, 12 years old, yeah, I learned that saboteurs are not, you know, we don't want to keep any of them around us. So James is on the right track.
That's perfect, Age. You know, one of the other things, we've had a pretty wet weekend to start, or wet week to start April. And I hope my wife's not listening to this, because she would be very upset about us talking about this. It was a sour time in our relationship. But the drainage on High Street Beam wasn't the best for a long time. And they may have.
I don't think it still is, Bob. I mean, by my house, it still looks like we're in Roman times. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Well, that's good. So one of the things that Age and I used to do, he had this sweet black two-door Tahoe.
Nice.
And it was very reminiscent. Just imagine OJ's white Bronco, but turn it black. And that's what Age and I, and you would peel that passenger side mirror in so you could really ride the curb. And one of AJ's favorite pastimes that I would partake in him with is you would drive up and down High Street and potentially splash unknowing students without anywhere to run. Age, you text me on Tuesday about the great rains that came. I said, I'm in. You never picked me up. Did you have a chance to go do any of that?
I did not, but I legit thought about it by myself after I dropped my boys off at school. I'm like, man, maybe I should make a run down High Street for good old times, splash a few people. And that's when I texted you to tell you I needed you. I was joking with my wife about that because she was in the car a few times and she didn't know what was going on. And you're right. You got to tuck that mirror in, make sure you don't hit any people or don't hit a sign. But it's more about, you can't telegraph it. I would drive very, very slow, 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 slow. And then I would veer away from the curve a little bit. And then I would, boom, nail the gas and hit those puddles. And it would hit, like, some of my best splashes probably hit 8 or 9 people at one time. I guess looking back, people were pretty upset. But actually, Bob, I had been walking on High Street after that, maybe more than one time. And I got blasted. A car pulled the same move on me. They went slow and then they gunned it and splashed me. And I wouldn't even know how it goes. Karma's a real thing, I guess. So I'm not against doing that again. I'll get back out there.
Were you upset when that happened to you? Or were you just like, yeah, game is game. I respect it.
I do. Game respects game, you know, shoot or shoot. So I had to just respect it and say, hey, you know what? There's no way I can get mad at this person. They did not telegraph it, because I know to get away from the sidewalk, but this guy did a great job. He must have watched me doing this one of the times I was out there cruising, because he was very good and he did not telegraph it at all.
So one of the things, like, Courtney hated that because someone got her similarly to maybe you got or the people that you splashed. And she at one point had High Street water, she said, actually in her mouth. She got splashed like mid-conversation and some of it went in there. So she is very, very against any of the High Street splashing. And so if I did it with you, I would have to lie to her. It would be worse than going to like a strip club or maybe even like the Bunny Ranch. She would be more happy with me doing that than partaking in that with you again.
Yeah, I understand her sentiment there. I really do. But I feel like it's, you know, it's all a game. And like you said, you got to have your head on a swivel, Bob. If we're walking on High Street, my head has to be on a swivel, because you never know what's coming at you. But yeah, if I knew the person or they were like limping or anything, I would not splash those people. I'm letting them go. I have, or no elderly people.
Limping.
We're going after students. Students that don't have a lot on their plate that day.
I love the fact that you exempt like the elderly and the handicapped. I mean, you're a man of morals and principle. That's a big deal, AJ. That matters a lot.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it.
Well, it's important, because honestly, I mean, you respect the rules of warfare, and that's key. What I'd like to pivot to, though, is coming up this Thursday. We're going to be doing a linebacker roundtable. It's going to be you, myself, James Laurinaitis, and Anthony Schlegel going to be up there on the stage for the Ohio State Coaches Clinic on Thursday night. It's going to be a lot of high school coaches, a lot of dudes in the ranges from like ages 25 to 55. But where do you think this thing is going to ultimately go, and how excited are you to be a part of it?
Man, I am very excited. Yeah, just the fact that we all get to, you know, get together, me, you, Schlegs, and James. I mean, I think the last time, like, we're never really get to spend much time together, all four of us. So to be up there and then in that setting, yeah, I mean, the coaches' clinics, it's an unbelievable thing that goes on, that they put on. The fact that we get to get up there in front of all those coaches and see if they're going to take us serious, it's going to be amazing. I mean, I think it's going to be fun. But the best part is, like, the dynamics of everybody. Schlegs and James on the staff right now, you know, and we know, like, who knows where we're going to go with it. Are you going to, like, MC? Are you going to take charge and lead this thing? Or how's it all going?
So I guess that they've talked to a couple of different guys that may potentially MC. I go, listen, if you don't have anybody else, I'll be the one that'll kind of point guard this. But yeah, you know as well as I do, AJ, keeping Schlegs inside the like the framework and the boundaries of reality is very tough.
No, and when he gets, he's going to be so sweaty up there. And I might be too, but he will. I can just picture it right now. The thing is too, like, with the audience, Schlegs, he would say this to one person or 800 people, like, he's still going to bring the juice, but I think he feeds off the audience, especially there's some football guys that are going to be there, and Schlegs can really relate to them. So once we get him going, like, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see what Schlegs does. But, you know, like, you can't contain him. You absolutely cannot contain anything of what he's doing. He might get physical up there. He might headbutt somebody. It should be fun.
We talked about clinic quality tackles yesterday with David Perkins decleating Brutus. I don't know if you guys are going to pull that up in the All-22 film or not next week when you guys are doing the coaches clinic, but I just want to know how many quality clinic tackles that you think that Knopf thought that you had in your career. Was it zero or was it all of them?
Zero. Never once did I do what he taught me, and that I rep thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Now, you know, they're always striving for more. You're always trying to find it. And I'm trying to, you know, that's why those great coaches make you better. But yeah, I don't think, I don't know if there's ever a tackle you make where you're like, yep, there it is, nailed it. That's exactly what we taught you. That's exactly how we're supposed to execute it, especially coming from Centerville. But I guess that's why they're so good, and that's why I love them.
Hey, don't be a saboteur, buddy. Always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll check it again soon, all right?
All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. AJ Hawk with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. If we've learned one thing today, don't be a saboteur. Don't be a traitor. Senior, leader, individual. We're going to reveal our fan poll next. Morning Juice right here on the Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Happy Friday right now. No crashes to let you know about if you're heading out. We are watching busy traffic, though, on 161 eastbound in and out of the New Albany area and on I-71 coming in to downtown Columbus. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Starshin.
If you can find a show that's closer to Buckeye football, it would be hosted by Ryan Day. You're listening to Morning Juice.
We are on the Juice, brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Healthy Leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can visit them online at feelgreatcolumbus.com. Uncle Bo and the boys.
Oh, gosh.
Is Betty Davis' birthday today?
It's Betty Davis' birthday. This song wasn't sang by Betty Davis, but it's about Betty Davis. And I like to call her Bette Davis, mm-hmm, or Beat Davis. I mean, she's
TTE
with an E at the end, you know, not the Y. My grandma, Betty, she had a Y at the end. She was tradish. This Betty, I mean, her hands were
how
cold.
Good is this song?
I mean, how about someone wrote a song about you just being awesome? About how
pure as New York snow.
West New York, baby.
Yeah. Upper New York.
not New York City. Brown and
pure as
she tease you, Beam.
Columbus High Street.
She'll appease you.
Rainwater. Puddle water.
Oh, my God. I mean, Shark, who wouldn't want to be with Betty Davis?
Loved Kim Carnes' voice. Raspy.
I feel like she has a cigarette in her hand, yeah, while she's singing this. She'll tease you, she'll appease you, she knows just how to please you, Shark.
What's better than that?
Betty Davis sounds like my type of gal.
Seriously. How old is she today?
Well, Bette Davis is no longer with us. But she would have been... She died in 89.
Born in 1908.
1908. I mean...
116.
I mean, she made it. Long may she reign. She had a nice run there.
Lived through World War One and Two.
That's what I'm saying. She was 91 when she died. That's or 81. She had a good run, though. For someone that, you know, she had some pretty eyes, Shark.
Ooh, bug eyes. She was a heavy smoker, too.
Of course. That was back in the day.
Yeah.
How do you think they stayed skinny back then?
She passed away in Neuilly-sur-Seine in France. That looks like a lovely place just to pack
it
up.
Of course.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
Oh, there you go.
Is there a better feeling than an 8:53 on a Friday for us?
I mean, that's, you know, it doesn't get better than that. This is amazing.
Neuilly-sur-Seine looks pretty nice, Bob. I think that we would enjoy our time over there.
I mean, listen to this. She'll tease you, she'll unease you, and all the better just to please you. She's
This song just skyrocketed up my top 40.
She knows just what it takes to make a pro blush, Shark.
Ooh.
Oh, that's amazing. She'll expose you when she snows you, and she knows you. I mean, I feel like Michael Scott right now, just learning something new. I've never looked at the lyrics of this, but that's amazing.
I've heard this song many a time. I don't know if I've listened to this song.
The song, The Meaning, apparently, by American songwriter. She's got Bette Davis eyes. It's not just captivating her looks, but she's got the chutzpah.
Oh. Chutzpah.
Sorry, back it up. I apologize for my butchering there of the Hebrew. She's bold. She's confident. She's definitely skilled in the art of seduction.
Ooh. Oh, man.
And then we'll go with that to your guy, Kurt Cobain.
Died today in 1994, 30 years ago today. Oh,
choked on a shotgun. They said, I was talking to someone. Was it you that told me that Kurt Cobain's goal in life was to make enough money just to be able to do drugs?
So I've watched a lot of documentaries on
Kurt
Cobain. The
worst thing is that
Nirvana.
He made a ton of money.
So Grohl got terrified of music after like the superstardom of Nirvana and like what they were, and then the whole Cobain situation. He was like, music terrified me. Like,
should.
To go from being able to do this and then seeing what happened to Kurt, he was like, it really freaked me out. And then the other guy in Nirvana is just like selling insurance up in Seattle.
Of course.
Like, he just totally got out of it. Grohl obviously went on to have and is having the career that he's having now
doing
with the
great
Foo Fighters and doing all kinds of different stuff.
But I mean, you listen to...
Sharp, were you working at the Blitz when this happened?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how big of news was that when this...
Dude, it was massive.
Yeah, I mean, it was,
you were just born.
Yeah. I don't remember that
at all. Shark,
I mean, it was kind of like John Lennon, where he was just having a mediocre solo career, and then he shot the number one on all the charts after he died. This was, huge. And as I recall, Courtney didn't find his body for a couple of days.
Because you saw the shape she was in.
Yeah. She was doing the drugs that he was doing.
Right. They had a great relationship, real symbiotic, you know.
But the blood splattered against the wall. And
it was wild.
Nobody saw him for a few days.
It was one of my good friends. He had like older sisters, and he had the shirt that had like his shot, like a picture of him. It was the famous picture of him, and then his like years of living to death. And I remember my buddy had it. It was so envious. Like, everybody wanted that shirt.
He's been gone longer than he lived.
Yeah. And what's wild is I always thought Nirvana was better than Pearl Jam. And it's because he died. Like, it's impossible to criticize anyone after they're done. Like, they never had a chance to make bad music.
Right.
And even at the end, though, In Utero, some of the stuff wasn't as great. It was fading. But I came to my conclusion. Romo convinced me Foo Fighter or Pearl Jam is better, which they are.
Our daily fan poll sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's fan poll at 971thefan.com or on Twitter at 971thefan will be Monday night's NCAA tournament championship game matchup. UConn-Purdue, UConn-NC State, Bama-Purdue, or Bama-NC State. I got to roll with the two big dogs.
Yeah, with the ones. We'll probably be wrong. UConn's not getting beat, but I don't think Purdue will either.
General, had so much fun today. What do you say we do it again? Recap? A big Monday if they allow us. You good with that?
Let's do it.
Everybody have a great weekend. Uncle Bo and the boys are up next. We are back live on Monday morning to break everything down. Talk to you then. Have a good one. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Happy Friday right now. No crashes to let you know about if you're heading out. We are watching busy traffic, though, on 161 eastbound in and out of the New Albany area and on I-71 coming in to downtown Columbus. In the 10 TV Traffic Center, I'm Amy Steigerwald.
This is a Fan Action Update.
Lots of baseball to bet this Friday. Don't be afraid to bet road teams in Major League Baseball. Road teams are currently 15 games above 500 on the money line this year. Road teams have actually been profitable every single day on the money line since the opener a week ago. Yesterday, the Cleveland Guardians continued that trend, winning as a road underdog against the Minnesota Twins. For your Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good morning, I'm Eric Reeser. The Blue Jackets were looking for their third straight win, hosting the Islanders last night at Nationwide. Dmitry Voronkov and Kirill Marchenko scored in the first period. The game was tied at two heading into the third. The New York scored two unanswered en route to an Islanders 4-2 victory. Jackets are back on home ice tomorrow night hosting the Flyers. No word yet on the goaltending situation for tomorrow. Elvis Merzlikins was ruled out before Thursday's game with an illness, and Danil Tarasov suffered a neck injury in the first period last night. He did not return to the game. In baseball Thursday, Columbus split a doubleheader with Omaha. Clippers won game one 3-0, and the Storm Chasers took game two 5-4. Both teams are back at Huntington Park tonight at 6:15. And in the majors, the Guardians beat the Twins last night 4-2. Cleveland's got Friday off. The Reds had Thursday off. They'll host the Mets for a weekend series starting Friday. This update sponsored by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Breaking sports news when it